Alright, that's a hot mic. That's a hot mic, but a cold Christmas.
Hey!
Oh.
It's not that cold today.
It's alright.
It's actually pretty comfy.
It's doing that. It's doing that warm snow.
Yeah.
That I don't mind, where it's not windy. It's this, like, it's coming down softly, and the wind is not cutting. So it kind of almost, like, it's like the snow almost packs the heat a little bit.
Well, you know why that is. It's actually really fucking counterintuitive and nonsensical. It's like, you know when it snows, it's often like, okay, say you have your cold-ass shitty day.
Yep.
Like the fuck you, ow, my fucking face day.
Yep.
And then there's a massive snowfall. You ever notice it's way hotter outside despite all the snow?
Yeah.
That's because when the liquid turns to solid, it releases heat.
Science.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
But like that makes no sense because you think snow is cold and you touch it and it's cold, so why is it hot?
But when don't forget that when you're in a plane crash and it goes bad and you have to eat the people that die to survive, you can pack them under the snow to keep them warm.
That's correct.
The bodies under the snow keep them warm.
Yeah, snow's a great conductor. Fuck me. It's a great insulator.
Insulator.
That's how igloo work.
Welcome to the Christmas cast. And 2018, Matt couldn't join us because Matt is Santa Claus.
Unfortunately.
Matt is out on doing the rounds.
At the doctor.
Yeah.
I think the real answer is way better.
Yeah, he's Matt Santa Claus, but his gift this year was that he broke his ass.
He broke his ass. Well, here's hoping he didn't actually break his ass. Here's hoping he just bruised it a little.
Yeah.
But the ice beat him.
The dangers are real up here. Anywhere, actually.
I have a friend of mine who sprained like either ankle like in one winter.
Yeah.
Like he sprained the first one and was like, oh fuck, and was like hobbling around for 2 months. And then when it finally got better, he slipped on like the last step on a staircase and sprained the other one.
I've told the story before, but my friend running for the bus slipped and busted himself up. But it was like, nah, that's actually more serious than just a slip and bump. That was I can't walk for a while.
Oh,
that was a recovery. That was I need a cane from now on.
For real?
For real.
Cane forever?
Cane forever. Which became part of his identity, which is
sure,
really cool.
Totally.
That was rad. But it was a serious thing, and it was the worst because he was running to the library. He was running to catch the bus to go to the library to show off his new jeans. And so they had to cut those jeans off of him when he slipped and fell.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
I think back, and I'm pretty sure I told this one, but I once had a slip and fall that was to the extent that I'm shocked I'm not blind. You know, one of those?
Oof, yeah.
And it was step off. I remember the corner. It was like fucking St. Francis or whatever, but I step off the bus, first foot is good.
Yep.
The instant my second foot leaves the bus,
yep,
first foot just decides to, like, zero friction, just absolutely nothing.
Yep.
So I do a full horizontal, like, tumble, and the midbrain top of my cervical spine hits, like, the edge of the step of the bus with all of my body weight plus... And, like, I got up, and I'm like, that kind of hurt, and I'm completely fine. But that's kind of miraculous, because that's how you go blind.
Yeah.
That's the kind of head injury that actually just... Oh.
No, that's where you walk away going, I'm fine, but what you didn't see is something on your stat sheet changed.
Yeah.
Some numbers just immediately went red, and you don't know which numbers they were.
That predates my entry onto the public scene, so it's quite possible that I did lose points, but now no one will ever know.
You don't know what happened. You don't know what went away. That's scarier.
My eyesight
because
didn't
sometimes
change. My eyesight's bad.
Because maybe the thing that that you need to save your life is the thing that you thought you still had,
and then
in that moment you go, and it's like, it was lost on
you
that
know,
day.
You know, I didn't usually word salad as much before then, now that I think of it.
Fuck, that's a real thing.
That's a
too.
Good one.
Yeah,
who loves a good word salad?
Ah, God,
get some dressing in there.
I have a buddy. I have a buddy that, in fact, you might have met back in our college days.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I don't know if you remember, but he was like the cool like sports guy. He'd do a lot of like snow, extreme sports and snowboarding and like a lot of slopes. Oh,
that's
Jesus.
Not what I want to hear.
Thank you, Windows.
That's not what I want to hear, Wooly.
Keep bothering me.
I want to hear, just update the computer. By the way, when you're not here and like you're not around, I update the computer.
Yeah, no, and I've set it, but it keeps requesting.
Yeah, it's every
day. I've updated
it's every
it.
Every day.
I have. So the buddy
sports,
of mine,
sports bro.
Yeah, sports bro. He did half pipe and like downhill snowboard stuff, and he's super good at it. He's all, you know, but all it takes is one. And there was one bad one where he went up for, it was like, oh, not a 1080, but it was like, you know, a move like that upside down. And he did the whole thing but didn't stick the landing. And it's so weird because he just landed. It was a really, really high jump, and then he landed on his back in the snow. And it looked like, oh, fuck, wipeout, right?
That doesn't seem like it would be that bad considering snow is usually pretty soft.
You wouldn't think, but the impact was so much harder than it looked on camera. And he was in recovery for a while and had to go through like, you know, a lot, and basically, you know, when he like rejoined and whatnot and was back with us, like definitely a little bit of like word salad here and there, you know, a little bit of jumble and a little bit of like a little bit harder like to get to the end of a thought sometimes, you know, and you'd be like, damn man, it's that quick.
So
that's real.
So the advice here to all our faithful listeners, hey you out there, never do a sport.
Don't sport. Unless it's e-sport.
E-sport is safe.
If you e-sport and you get that max CPM, you're good. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, you know what happened, right? I sported. I sported one time.
Yes.
Do you know why I stopped sporting?
Why is that?
Because a fucker that was cheating on the other team that was too big, twice my size.
Twice your size?
He was playing in the league for 13, 14-year-olds, and he was 16.
Oh, that's crap.
And he was taller than everyone on the team.
That's bullshit.
And above the weight limit.
That's...
And he was up against me on the line.
That might as well be an adult.
And he and not only was he bigger and cheating and crazy, but he dove and clipped my fucking knee.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
So it's the same injury that knocked everybody out of sports?
Done and done.
It's your knee?
The knee. Right in the knee. Fucking Amma Bay. Fuck Amma Bay. Shitty ass cheating team bitches. They fucked me up. And I'll have you know that the funny part about that whole thing, and I think, again, this is, I'm sure I must have repeated it, but that was on a Labor Day game on a Monday against fucking Amma Bay. And 2 years before that, my brother, who also played for the same team that I played for, on Labor Day on Monday against Amma Bay, got fucking clipped in the knee, and it destroyed him way worse than it destroyed me.
Oh, yeah?
I was out for like a month, and then I pretty much had to stop after that because I kept feeling it.
Yeah.
And him, he had something called Oshkosh Schlatter, which means the top
the
of...
fuck is this?
It means the top of your knee joint is a Y shape.
Okay. So that's a congenital thing? He was just born with a weird...
He has that already.
Knee. Okay.
So the hit you take... He's fine... But the hit you take to that is infinitely more damaging.
Yeah, because it's like a wishbone.
Yeah. So, like, he got hit and he got clipped, and then the rest of the body was, like, you know, minus 14, minus 14, minus 14, and then the knee was, like, minus 9999999. And then
so
he was out.
His patella just, like, exploded?
He had years of recovery of that,
wow!
too. So that's what happens when you sport.
Never do a fucking sport.
Especially against cheating fucks like Amma Bay.
All right. I was actually going to wait longer to talk about this. Let's do a quick couple weeks after this, but I have something that I've been wanting to announce for quite some time that actually fits into the story.
Okay.
So, a long time ago, Matt mentioned that he went on to a journey of self-improvement, and Wooly, you have been going to the boxing, and when you showed up on my stream, like, what was it, a week ago or something?
Maybe.
Everyone was like, Bro, you're so fucking jacked.
Okay.
So...
A little bit.
Today is the end of my first month with the personal trainer.
Hey.
and going to the gym.
Hey.
And all that. And I'm down 10 pounds. Woo.
Hey. Change anything else or just that?
I cut back on sweets.
There you go.
The killer for me because I have a problem. And I also stopped eating so much trash.
There you go.
Fuck off. Don't be condescending.
No, no. It's not about that. But it is about, like, if you want to actually attain immortality.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, but it starts there.
Well, you hit that moment where you're, like, looking in the mirror and you're like, man, fuck this. This has got to go.
Well, here's the thing, right? The funny thing about this time, there's a lot of people actually doing the same thing right now.
Yeah.
For different reasons. But one big one is because of that recent study that came out that went, oh, fuck, sugar is actually cancer.
Sugar is the worst thing that, like, could ever happen to you.
And it's basically there's a study that came out and it goes, yeah, by the way, it's not that it gives you cancer. It's more that if you have it, it feeds on sugar, like, so efficiently.
It loves it.
And furthermore, back in the day, there was a study that was put out that was being done by... it was being paid for by the sugar industry to talk about the damages of what sugar can do. Mm-hmm. And when they started seeing this same link that I just said, they fucking cut the funding to it and paid off a bunch of dudes that were researchers. The equivalent of $50,000 at the time to redirect the attention and blame towards cholesterol and to make cholesterol, like, actually more under attack than sugar was. And thus sugar totally fine in the American balanced diet.
There's good cholesterol and there's the bad cholesterol, and bad cholesterol is really bad for you because you die. It doesn't cause cancer. It causes your heart to explode.
It's nuts. Big sugar is crazy, dude. And, like, so we've had years of that. And then, like, they're just coming out with these articles now going, wait, what? And people are getting scared. So, yeah. Yeah. But hey, the good news is after like 3 weeks of like avoiding sugar, you're going to stop craving it.
So I still have one sugar a week.
Yeah.
Because if not, I will literally go crazy.
Yeah.
But it has become slightly easier.
Yeah. Once your body like goes, I need it. And you're like, no, you don't. It eventually drops.
And I should mention something that I don't remember you or Matt ever actually talking about like going to the gym and working out. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a good poster child for it because you couldn't get more sedentary than I was a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? I play games. So I'm talking to the trainer. She's like, okay, what do you do for work? It's like, I play games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you do for fun? I play games. Do you do any hobbies? Oh, I stream.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah.
What you like? What else you like? The movies.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I'm going to put you down as sedentary.
Yes. That's right? Correct. Yeah.
And so to anybody, because there's going to be a shit ton of people, because this is our last podcast until after the new year.
It is.
So people are going to be listening to this during their New Year's resolutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That first week is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life.
Easily.
It is the most painful.
Easily.
Tiring.
Yes.
I was in, and it's agony once you leave.
Yes.
For days.
Yes. 100%. Your entire body is screaming, why did you do that?
I could, like, and I was in the things, like, I remember being in Sejep, and, like, you had to take a fitness class, and there'd be the guys there that are already really fit.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, yeah, I got that soreness from yesterday, man. That's the shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, the soreness that I'm experiencing is agony. Are you actually walking around every single day with that? The answer is no.
No.
It is not the same.
See, here's how you think about it, right? Like, these dudes and athletes in general train and work out and whatnot for a lot of the times that big event that they're going to need to push themselves to 100% for. You've been training all your life to sit down.
That's correct.
And
I'm
play the game.
I'm good at it. I can sit like a pro.
Your body has been like
conditioned
through the machine of sitting down and playing the game. So the moment you break the enclosure of your understanding, right? The moment you shatter that, you feel nothing but agony because your body's like, what the fuck did you set me up for?
What are you doing?
Are we being chased by a bear?
This isn't what we're supposed to be doing. And it's like, so to any of those who are like similar to me, like a big piece of shit and are going to do the New Year's thing, that first day is going to hurt afterwards. And also the one that I wasn't ready for is really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because you get on the elliptical and you die at 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, I thought I was... Like, at least within the realm of normal.
4 minutes bad, yeah. Right? And then you look over, and this obviously depends on your gym, and there is what appears to be a 90-year-old man.
That's correct.
Crushing it on the elliptical.
100%.
And you're like,
what's up with
okay.
that?
Okay.
Yep, yep, yep. And then there's always like a moment too where it depends on what like variety of exercises you're doing. But like there's that moment where you're in so much pain and you're not moving and you're trying to catch your breath and you basically go like you go, I can't do this.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. This is suffering,
yeah.
Right?
And the thing is, it's like if it was all that first week, yeah, no one could do that. That's too hard.
And then the second time you come back,
half as bad. And the third time you come back, it is
negligible.
Like it's fine.
Yes.
And ideally, like I'm using a trainer like every single fucking Tuesday, I'm pushed to the fucking breaking point and it sucks shit.
Yeah.
But then Thursday's fine.
Yeah. So you're doing it twice?
I'm doing it 4 times a week.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Twice with a trainer and twice without.
Okay.
And like I'm discovering all these different types of emotions that I didn't know I had, such as I'm so out of breath, but my trainer is there and there are people around, but if there wasn't, I'm pretty sure I would cry.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the
I'm at the point where I feel like I'm going to burst into tears, mm-hmm. like I'm a kid,
mm-hmm.
because it's like fuck.
For me, it was interesting because the showing up and doing just working out in general is like once I'm there, I'm fine. But like the willpower to go. Was just I'm like I thought I had it, and then it turns out that I didn't, and I also like would just on my own I'd get really frustrated at shit,
mm-hmm.
and just like you know the benefits of having a class are huge. The benefits of having someone right there just to be like the fuck are you doing,
fucking do it,
yeah, are massive, and that came alongside boxing, and so like what happens now is in general like those first like the first couple minutes of boxing are just basically doing a ton of like. Explosive plyometrics, jumps, sit-ups, you know, crunches, whatever. Things that tire you out, mm-hmm. so that you don't even begin throwing punches until you're exhausted.
Right.
Right? And then you have to carry on the rest of the class, more or less exhausted, and last, and then do a final like sprint, if you mm-hmm. would. And it is, like, easily... actually impossible at the like in that first class if you're like not in shape enough to be to not be able to go the entire class. It's CrossFit,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like you can't possibly keep up the pace.
The you go to throw the punch and your fucking your deltoid just doesn't fire and your arm doesn't come up.
I mean, the best you can do is touch the bag, you know, and then it's like, no, that had to be a punch, right? So, but what I'm saying is like you're face down in your own sweat and just going like, fuck everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when you decide the next time around, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go, mm-hmm. right? Or you do a mental trick that I've been using recently has been, like, there's always going to be a moment where it's like the time is creeping up on you to get down there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, there's a really good excuse why I can, like, do something else right now,
mm-hmm.
and or avoid it or whatever. And, like, your mind will fucking work insane loops to get you to go, like, fuck it, I'm not going to go today.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the moment that first thought happens, I go, well, the rule is, as soon as I have that first thought, I have to get up and walk out the door immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, I've had the moment, and then the thought occurs, and it's like, nope, I'm on my feet walking before I have a chance to second think it, to double guess it. And, like, you get down there, and, like, when you're there for the third, fourth time or whatever, you get to the point where you were face down in the sweat, but then you're not.
Right.
And you're like, oh, shit. Okay. This is interesting, and you're looking around the class, and everyone else is like, yeah, like, you're there you go. And then you're like, all right, now you just need to keep that combo going.
Monday is my favorite day because Monday is the last day of the week that I get to do with no alterations. Tuesday's the day where it always gets kicked up.
Mm.
And by the following Monday, I'm, yeah, I can do this. I can actually do it. And then I'm like, I'm going to show off to the trainer and be like, look, I can do the 15. No, off. Oh, you want me to hold what?
Yeah. Kettlebell it.
Like the fucking one that I did on fucking Saturday. The new one was fucking, I've never even heard of this, which is you fucking take the medicine ball.
Yes.
And then do the fucking squat and then you crab walk to the side.
Okay. I know that one. Yeah.
Like it gets to,
not a fan.
Like it got to the point where it's like, you're on your third set and the 15 that I had to do.
Yeah.
Resulted in me nearly falling down between every single rep.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, if there was no one there to be like, nah, just do it.
Yeah.
I would have super quit. That would have been so easy to quit.
Yeah.
It would have been the easiest thing in the world.
There's an exercise that, like, from back in the football days to this day, I don't think I'll ever be able to do it, but it's the crawling with no knees. It's like basically what? Like on your palms and on the tip of your toes,
yeah,
and like shuffle like a dog, right? No knees, just and crawl as fast as possible,
yeah,
and then crawl, hit the wall, crawl back,
oh,
right, and just do reps of that.
That's really funny because like I remember like my brother and I like just doing that for funsies. When
oh
we were
man,
kids.
Yeah, sure.
Our no, but like my body type, it makes that trivial,
huh?
The leverage, huh. The leverage that I have available. Means that the force acted upon me is like one third
that's
of what you're talking
dude,
about.
Dude, it's so crazy hard for me. I don't know. And like, so
well, you're tall. You have long arms and legs. Your leverage is shit.
Sometimes when we do that, I'm just like, look, I'm going to do it at the pace that I can do it at to not fall over. Cause I'd rather like, it's hard enough for me to not leave, to not have my knees hit. So if I'm going slower than everybody, just please understand. Yeah. It's not because I'm catching rest here. It's literally this is I'm sweating this out.
This is the speed that it go.
But then there's shit like like use a medicine ball. You can do fun stuff like slamming it on the ground, even like above your head and then down.
Yeah.
Carrying and tossing, and like sometimes there's the grab the hammer and just swing against the tire. And just work out. It's like you get a crunch, you get muscles, you get everything out of that type of shit, and then some of them are legitimately fun. But that's good. There you go. Right on.
So those of you who are thinking of doing this, for fuck's sake, goddamn, no matter what you do, do it for a month. Do it for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for longer than the first shitty week.
Get past that point.
Because I worry now, because I'm like, what if I had quit after that first week? I would never have tried again.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people end up. And then like, they wait until they gotta feel shitty again. And then
all that would have hit my head is like, oh man, that was the worst thing in the world. I can't do that every day. You know, that kind of thing.
And then here's the other bit too, is that like the sleep that night is abysmal because you can barely lie down. But on the nights when you're not sore in pain, the sleep is heavy and good.
My sleep has dramatically improved, which is a big deal for me because my sleep is shit.
You tire yourself out so that you sleep better.
Well, Wooly, you also have like considerable sleeping difficulties.
Yeah.
Or at least you used to.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I imagine this shit has improved it as well.
Yeah, I'm getting tired at the right times, you know, at the very least. And like now if I'm trying to force past that, it takes more effort.
Yeah.
So I'll call that an improvement.
I've still like slid later than I'd like.
Exactly.
I have actually been able to go to bed at 1. Which
yeah.
is the first time I've done that in like years.
So I've noticed that like around the time it hits 2, I'm like, oh, I get a yawn in there and I'm starting to actually get tired. And like that has been going on for a while.
Which is definitely better than me and you's usual like, hey, it's 6 a.m. and I'm fucking awake.
But not even remotely tired, right? So yeah, you sleep heavy and better and then like, you know, you actually, because of that, then it's weird in that way, but it's like you do actually feel better throughout the day. Like
yes.
The level of energy you have and such is not that default.
Like for about a half an hour after you stop, no, you'll feel like shit. But after that, you'll feel great the rest of the day.
Yeah. And I mean, the other side effect of it being feeling good about yourself. In a way.
Well, I mean,
because you're like, I did it is a nice thing.
Well, you know what the way that I've rationalized it in my head is like, there would be the moment where I'd get up on a Sunday and I would go play like 14 or fucking whatever. And I would like not move. And then I would go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even though I didn't give a shit, there's that part of you in your chest that's like, that's not good. It's bad.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
But as long as I keep doing this, I can do that without fucking like feeling like the absolute biggest piece of shit,
yeah.
At least on the days that I go and work out.
We talked about esports. Those esports people are all rugged.
They're all fit. You
they're
know
running
why?
In the morning.
Because they're fucking reflexes and shit.
They need to be up there, exactly. And you know what? The key to this is that you have somebody on your ass, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of folks who can't afford a personal trainer. Do you have anybody that you know that is fitter than you? Pray, go with them.
Have a buddy then. Yeah, that'll work too.
One of the funnier things that I read is like, they finally, like, the science of, like, having the buddy has been broken down. And it's like, how much better than you should your buddy be? And the answer is about 40%. Because that's not so far ahead of you that it looks, like, discouraging.
Yeah.
But it is, like, it looks like it's within the realm of your grasp.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that does, like, it's not even suck, but it's just kind of like if you're trying to like visually confirm the changes.
Okay, so let's like I lost 10 pounds, which is a good deal.
Yeah.
And according to Paige, my wonderful girlfriend, I look like I've lost more because I probably gained a little bit with beginner gains like muscle mass, right? I look in a mirror, I see nothing.
Exactly.
I see fucking and that's, nothing. And that's I look exactly the
and
same.
And that's exactly where I was about to go. Dude, listen.
It is the most frustrating thing.
Okay, Pat, I lost 25.
Like, and you see nothing.
Nothing.
It's bullshit.
Right? You do not see it. You do not see it, and for a long time, you're not going to see it. And the only time you will is if you actually like take photos and compare them almost. Yeah. Because your brain just goes, no, that's me.
Well, because it's too gradual.
Right? It's too, exactly, too incremental. There's so many things happening. There's all kind, like, there's layers of other shit. Did you know there was a study that shows that people who see themselves as, like overweight or, like, people that have bad body
image?
Confidence.
Yeah.
People with bad body confidence, like, have been proven that, like, if you take them and give them, like, Photoshop and you squish a picture of them,
yeah,
and go, put it back to normal, right?
They're
put
it
back to
100%. Like crazy.
They always overshoot it.
Yeah.
And this can be done with a mirror, without a mirror.
Yeah.
They will have a reference point and still always overshoot it because your brain actually sees themselves as larger than they are.
I had a day like 4 or 5 days ago where I got like really upset, like depressed, upset.
Yeah.
Because like I'm like I hit the scale and I went,
yeah,
bam,
yeah,
10.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then I looked in the mirror and I'm like, this has done nothing.
Yeah.
And I got like this mixture between like depressed and like furious.
And because I felt that before, I basically was like, okay, now I know that I'm not expecting it anymore. Because
yeah,
the first time I started to get those drops and saw no difference, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And you just have to
And then people tell you,
yeah,
like your girlfriend or your parents or whatever, because you don't see your parents every single week. You see,
yeah,
them every two, right? And they go, oh wow. And you go, and in your fucking head you go, why are you lying. Why are you fucking with me?
Exactly.
Are you trying to are you being nice?
Yeah. So even like that stream you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Where those are coming.
Everyone's like, man, Willie's so fucking jacked. He's so fit.
And it's like, no, but there's so many people that I guess there's something.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, not at all. It's the same shit, you know? And I expect, I basically have put the expectation of seeing a difference.
Yeah.
Away.
And like,
completely.
And you want to look at,
and you
like,
don't get that
you
motivator.
Look at the dark side of this, it's like, oh, this is the feeling that leads to anorexia, bulimia, orthorexia, body dysmorphia,
etc. It would be such a strong motivator if you could see the changes, but you can't.
Because like I always thought, you know, the fucking, yeah, what are they called? Fucking body dysmorphia or bigorexia guys, the ones that are like, I'm so fucking small, bro. I'm,
yeah,
like, you guys are not.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
Of course.
Oh, wait a second.
Of course, of course.
You actually literally are seeing yourself as tiny. As the,
yeah,
scrawny version that you used to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you
it's
know,
nuts.
And I mean, and again, like even on that level, like there's you have to take the other signs where you can get them because that big one is not going to be there.
Yeah,
you know, like the
no. Hey, instead, you take the sign of like, hey, I can walk up the McGill Metro stairs and not feel like a shit,
dude. That's literally what I was about to say. Is getting out at the Metro, going up the escalator, and being like, I'm one, and you're like, no, no escalator. You stare it up, and then you're like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Instead, like as of 1 month ago, if I went up the McGill steps, which aren't even that many, man.
Yeah.
Be like,
Yeah.
Or, not like the full out of breath, but enough that people like look at you and like, are you out of breath?
Yeah.
Like,
and you're
no,
and now you're in public
no.
and everyone's watching.
And you lie yeah. and yeah. you know.
Yeah.
So no, you know what you do? You know what you do there? You pull out your phone and then you just walk while you walk up the stairs yeah. while you're on your phone. You're like, no, preoccupied.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Preoccupied. Oh, hold on. Got to take a call. Halfway through. Yep.
Yeah.
There's no reception down here. Got to take a call.
Well, the best ultimate is always going to be grabbing your headphones, your big ass headphones, and wearing them with no music.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Or yeah, the building elevator went down, you know, and it's like, fuck, that's annoying.
Well, I mean,
it's not going to ruin my night.
I have told the story of back when I used to live in my old building and I was on the 10th floor and the fire alarm would go off relatively often with no fire. And I went on my fucking anti-fire alarm rant in which I described how when the fire alarm goes off, I wait until I see flames shooting out of the building to go down because fuck going up those 10 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. In hindsight, man, that's
crazy.
That's not, not great.
No. But I've been there. Now here's the second thing too, the other layer of this that it's like it's easy to just be like, oh fuck that's too much, right?
Yeah.
But using something like MyFitnessPal,
yeah,
right, and just writing down what you're taking in mm-hmm. on a regular basis, it's annoying.
It's
an extra step that you don't want to think about throughout the day. But here's the thing, right?
If FitnessPal had more like things in it, I would use it more. But the most common thing for me is like, there is no entry for this. I'm gonna have to ballpark it.
Yeah, but the thing is that even ballparking and or doing it one time and then relying on your own recipe,
mm-hmm.
like the point is that you get used to like what that looks like, mm-hmm. and then you know what that number should be. Because here's the thing: for a while, if you're doing all that effort and then just eating past it. Right?
Yeah.
Then suddenly nothing's happening and you're like, what the fuck am I suffering for?
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
That is bullshit.
It sucks.
So if you at least get used to what the numbers look like for a little bit and then know how to keep it below where your caloric intake should be,
mm-hmm.
you avoid working out for nothing. And then you go, all right, at least there's a benefit here. So like, it's not a thing that, you know, it gets less annoying over time. But the main reason to do it is to not waste your fucking time
mm-hmm.
working out and then eating past it. So it's like, consider just getting used to popping in what you take in on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And things like a sugar-free Red Bull are like, you know, it's got nothing in it, right?
It's got nothing.
It's not great for you.
It's got 15 calories.
It's not great
for
you.
It's objectively bad for my overall health, but not necessarily my
fitness.
But
as far as intake-outtake goes, input-output goes, yeah. like your numbers are going to be fine on that. So consider that as well, because for me, like what the three that like kick-started everything into happening was logging those numbers so that I never go above,
mm-hmm.
We're doing the workout, starting doing boxing, and eating ketogenically.
Currently, the fitness pal isn't that required because it is difficult to overstate how poor my eating habits were.
Yeah.
So here's the main shocker. I need to eat more.
Yeah.
Because the way that I used to eat is that I would have 1.5 meals a day.
But they were spiced.
But they were fucking 1,500, 2,000
yeah.
calorie
yeah, yeah,
meals.
Yeah, 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 okay.
Starting to eat breakfast, no matter how shitty that breakfast is, and when I mean shitty, I don't mean like, I mean like a protein bar or some shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I'm not fucking starving at fucking 4.
There's that. But I guess it's just like, the easy part now is like, even without, like I can basically do my FitnessPal stuff in like 30 to 40 seconds because I know.
You're used to it.
Well, because I go to Costco, I'm buying a bunch of chicken breasts, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm grabbing a handful of like salad.
Yeah.
And I know exactly how much a handful is worth value-wise. So you just,
Well, if you're eating consistent meals, then like as long as you punched those in,
yeah,
you can just.
And I know how to eyeball a cup of anything. Even if I'm out at a restaurant somewhere or whatever, I can eyeball a cup and be like, yeah, that's about mm-hmm. that, or that's about 8 ounces or whatever the fuck, you know? And so it's a benefit as well. But yeah. See where that takes you.
You know what results in a dramatic calorie decrease week over week?
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of soda.
Yeah.
Soda is the single easiest way to remove fucking, 400 calories a day?
For a lot of people. Yeah. I haven't. I like normal. I can't. I like at first I was like, yeah, I'm gonna stop that. I stopped that a couple years back just because I heard about those things, yeah. And then I read that thing about this is what happens to your body when you drink a Coke.
Because right? it happened that like I was drinking a Red Bull right after going to the gym, yeah. and Paige.
Whoa!
Like,
don't do that.
Why not?
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Dehydration. I know. I also drink water.
Okay.
I just want it to wake up to come here.
Yeah, it's all, but it's also like you're, anyway.
Regardless,
you don't need a stimulant after a stimulant.
The point of the thing. Yes, I do. I want more stimulants.
Okay.
All right. If like the discussion happens, it's like, hey, don't. There's so many fucking calories in that. I was like, no, it's only got 15. And then I went on a whim. I was like, I'm gonna go check the 7-Up, see how much that has, and show. Oh my god. It's got 160, 200.
It's out of control.
For a 7-Up?
It's out of control, yeah.
That's like 5 bites of a meal.
Yeah. So
that's
like,
the worst.
So, like, there's been, like, a time I remember, like, where someone, like a girlfriend was, like had a Sprite or whatever, and I was just like, I'm super thirsty. Just give me a sip of that. And, like...
I remember when you went on your sugar, like, detox. And
oh, my
you
God.
I remember seeing you have sips of that shit. And you look like you were gonna trip,
dude. It's like a full. It's like a full energy drink and a half. It's insane. And I remember one time, like having like a just a bit of like an ice cap.
Yeah,
you know, like a Tim Hortons ice cap. And you're like, your heart's gonna burst out of your chest. Kenshiro just punched me.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow. So avoiding sugar is not now even about like desire. It's about if I eat sugar right now, my body will not know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I'll have a fucking insulin spike from here like yeah. to it's crazy. So, no, it generally becomes something that like you can't even handle after a bit too. But yeah, soda's a good cut.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there's tons of alternatives and whatnot. And like, you know, I like whenever I
like water.
Sure.
Like, you can just. That's the easiest way I've been handling
that, yeah.
it.
Yeah. But when your craving hits that, like, fuck it, I need it, you can have a diet thing if you need,
yeah.
you know? You can get a sugar-free thing or get some Mio squirted in your
I
fucking
hate that
shit.
Mio shit. That's weird.
That's fine. There's Crystal Light. There's different yeah. versions of it. But the point is it's like when you hit your point of like, fuck, I don't want water right now.
Yeah.
You know, then you can just, you get one of those.
Oh, and last but not least, definitely stop drinking. Just stop drinking.
Well, yeah. That's
booze is like the single most calorie dense fucking thing you could eat.
I don't drink that much anyway to begin with, so it wasn't
yeah, exactly.
a big deal.
Well, I had to stop
yeah.
because of my fucking uric acid crystals in my joints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which should have been a bigger sign than it was.
Yeah. But what you can do, well, it depends on what you're looking out for, but like I mentioned for me, like my go-to of fucking Guinness and cider. Right?
Get out.
The thickest, densest, craziest, like sugar spiking, carby, carb drink.
It's
is gone. That's gone now. And
well, yeah, because you think of because you've hit that point where you're like, well, just put it on my thighs, man.
Right,
yeah, just throw it right on there.
So yeah, you cut it all out, and then if you're out with your friends, you can sip on a glass of straight. Whatever, like, you know, and
I'm somewhat lucky in that my drink of choice is a Bloody Caesar, which isn't that disastrous.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, the Guinness cider thing, fucking,
it's no, exactly. You just cut that.
Just
shit
eat
out.
A whole loaf of bread.
Yeah, you know, or like, or again, like whiskey on the rocks is. You
yeah,
know,
that
you, know, like you just
you could
you
be
keep it. Keep
and
it
honestly,
as,
it's not even cut out booze; it's cut out beer.
Cut out beer.
Beer is
that's,
beer is
that's
the danger.
Point, yes, and for me, cider
switch
is,
to hard liquor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. And cider, you know, same thing for ciders, right? It's like, no, you have to cut all that shit out, and that's annoying, but oh well.
All right, so yeah, if I, the laziest, shittiest person, can attempt this, you can too, and there's our public service. All right, the only other thing I did with my week is saw Star Wars. We're not going to talk too much about that.
I'd rather not. Let's give people a chance to see it.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
It didn't smash my dick off, but I had fun.
Parts smashed my dick off.
There's that one part.
Yep, and there's it's a good movie.
Yeah, that one thing.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yep.
There's a little bit of Just Talk, but ultimately good movie. Goes
The only big ass
Star Wars.
The only big ass problem I have is I think everyone who saw that movie can agree, man, that is too long.
I didn't think so.
I think
no,
I think you can cut like half an hour of that movie.
I didn't think so.
Effortlessly.
But yeah, not this. Now is not the time for the details.
All right. What about you, Walls? What do you do?
Well, I saw Star Wars.
Yeah. What? Yeah. That's crazy.
Smashed expectations in a lot of ways, but whatever. Go see it. Honestly, because this is all like prep for trip time, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of insane man like dealing with that stuff. And in the times that I'm not doing that stuff, I'm cramming in some Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
So
you always go back to that now.
I love it.
I know, like, it's crazy to me.
I play it like I play the filler game, like Rising Thunder, yeah. or like a quick match of a fighting game. I love it. It's super great, and I can play it one session. I can do a short one. I can do a long one. Fits the time frame that I want. Never get bored of the narrator. Always like the new things going on.
I'm so in love with that narrator.
I'm super in love with the game.
Why don't you just marry that narrator?
I fucking wish. That's my go-to. That's my go-to.
Fantastic.
And it's amazing.
They just put out a fucking DLC for that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is
on
it?
My birthday?
Oh fuck!
They put out a new DLC. Yeah. And I'm not even at it yet, so I don't know.
Oh, it's one of those that just adds to
Even know. I haven't fully investigated, but it's crazy because there's so much game to play before you even attempt the Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've been playing for so long and there's still so much shit.
Well, it's like you're in that place where I am with XCOM 2, which is like very similar in a lot of ways. Steam says I've played 86 hours of XCOM mm-hmm. 2. Mm-hmm. I've never even hit the 70% mark in that game.
Yeah.
And not because I fail.
Yeah.
Because I play it for 30, 40 fucking hours and like I just fall off of it.
Uh-huh.
And then when I go back a month and a half later, I'm like, well, I don't remember it. I'm going to start over.
So like for you to have characters that don't just freak the fuck out and run away when you click on the Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
They need to be at least level 5.
Wow.
Right? Anything below 5 is, fuck you, don't put me there, I'm running. Like, I'm gone. I can't do this. And if you and then 5 is like, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Right? Don't even, what are you
They'll
doing?
They'll walk in and get killed instantly.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So, like, and so you're like, okay, I need to like work on them before even looking at this place. But working on them in what is otherwise the hardest bosses and enemies in the game is a challenge on its own. So I'm like, you're just trying to get the right party to even attempt.
The entire game is struggling to build a party that can attempt the final challenge.
That's
not
it.
Even beat it.
No. And when you guess what happens, right? Unlike earlier in the game when you're like, fuck, this is going rough. Let's get out of here. When shit goes rough at those 4 to 5 levels, mm-hmm. your party's gone.
Yeah.
Those characters are now gone and you got to find a new set.
Which means you're starting with newbies.
Yeah, but you do get the ability to have newbies start at higher levels.
Great.
At random. Because it's people coming into the coach and you don't know who they're going to be. So you don't know, you know, you might get 0, 1, 2, or 3. Right.
Say you get like multiple full party wipes in a row.
Yes.
Like disastrous, right?
Yeah.
Are you able to grab new recruits and run them through the starter ones to bring them up to speed?
I've had moments where the game has an ounce of mercy on you where you have multiple wipes and then it goes, "All right, something happened and a lot of people are showing up in town right now."
Okay.
So they're like, here you go.
Well, what I mean is like you are able to crawl back from like oblivion.
Yes.
To start over with a new batch of people.
You are able to crawl back.
And you would keep your town upgrades and shit.
You keep
like
your town upgrades. You lose your trinkets, which is like
valuable.
Super important.
So you'll have to go and reacquire those shits.
Exactly. And you know, but the crawl is there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But fucking,
because in XCOM that crawl does not exist. Like in XCOM you fucking You have your dream team get wiped off the map. You might as well just break the disc in half.
Yeah,
like it's time to start over.
But no, I like I said, I can see me fucking just pumping that on whenever I'm like, oh, I got some time to kill. I got half an hour. I want to break. It's an awesome stress reliever, and I feel like I don't think there's another. Like I told you about that other game that I was playing, like Deep Sky Derelict. That's
it
like,
just didn't hit that same
it doesn't,
itch.
It doesn't. It doesn't have the same itch. It doesn't have the same thing. You know, I talked about like when you're tested and then you know, you either come out with your quirks, you either come out like, oh, with a positive quirk or a negative quirk, and all those moments of like, they're still just as awesome as they were on day one.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like, oh, powerful versus like paranoid or whatever.
It's like, oh, man.
Anyway, so it being a Christmas cast.
Is there any news of any kind?
I mean, we
almost nothing.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about like Kamiya getting really mad that Capcom's releasing the American Street Fighter collection to Japan.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll sum up that news with the title of that thread on our subreddit, Japan Gets Angry at Having to Eat Its Own Medicine.
Yeah, we can talk about the part where Dead or Alive is dead.
But no, it's not dead. Don't worry.
It's on life support.
Okay, so at some event, the Dead or Alive people over at
stream.
Tecmo fucking announced... It appeared that after the Dead or Alive tournament, they announced that the series was dead, only to later walk that back and be like, no, that's not what we meant. We meant it's on hiatus, and DOA 5 is dead. And everyone's like, so DOA 6? And they're like, no comment. And it's like, what the...
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking
it's
about?
It's very confusing, but it sounded like the team was trying to say that like they're taking a break from that or whatever.
More bikinis will not be coming to DOA 5 forthcoming.
There you go. I mean, we could talk about the final boss of the internet that has emerged in the form of Ajit Pai.
Oh.
There's...
The upgraded version of the Steve Buscemi, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, there's that. There's the... What was... There was another thing, too, wasn't there? There was, oh yeah, like Beerus and Hit and so on.
The Super is now fully in on DBZ,
showing in on the fighters. Yeah,
great.
You know, so there's a couple little things that here and there, but
nothing crazy big.
Nothing massive.
Instead, let's get to these holiday emails.
All right, so let's. First one coming in from the FCC. What?
Get out! You can't say that on. Podcasts,
bro. We
that'd be rough.
Yeah,
well, let's never go on radio. Hey. Satellite radio, okay, but like regular ass radio, we're doomed.
We can go on CBC because that's Canadian as shit.
Yeah,
you know.
See that? Oh man, you want to talk about some goofy regulatory shit? The French Quebec broadcasting shit for French radio says that fuck is cool to say on the radio
because
it's too commonly used.
There you go. Yeah. Like they absolutely don't care about English swear words in the way that like English people don't care about French swear words. It makes sense. There's also the new app Goalie Up that I tweeted about.
That's a real problem.
We got to. Got to get ourselves a goalie, and we only got half an hour.
You are being the most smug asshole I have seen in a long time. I literally did not know you had it in you.
I'm so fucking, like, that just makes me happy and brings me joy that we have an app that lets you find a goalie.
Goaltenders are hard to find.
Yeah, for $40, eh?
The people looking at Wooly's tweet and going, what the fuck is a netminder? A netminder is a goalie. It's someone who minds the net.
Oh, fantastic. All right.
It's not some kind of fucking weird internet term.
All right. So we got one coming in from James.
Hey, James, what up?
Dear Super Best Christmas Boys, do you listen to certain soundtracks while working or studying? Bunny Hop once mentioned listening to Metroid Prime. I enjoy Deus Ex and Shadowrun. Curious about you guys.
So working and studying. Okay. Studying, I always used to listen to Metallica. Working, I don't listen to shit because the nature of our work means if you're listening to shit, you're fucking up your work.
There you go.
Like, sitting, you must have this experience if you're not using headphones, like sitting and listening and working, like finding that perfect sync point or edit cut, and you just hear yourself say a phrase like 20 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then they kind of look over at you and like, are you crazy? It's like a little,
yeah.
This is tedious as shit.
I'm hitting the buttons to go to get the exact sync, you know. Yeah, you have to hear it. So unfortunately, like for editing purposes, it's a bad idea. But for studying purposes, anything instrumental that was like, I mentioned, you know, Nujabes or Kenny Shinyoro, Nishihara, like any of that, like I like old school old school instrumental hip hop for studying in particular.
Yeah, works
really well. But soundtrack wise, I mean, if you want to specifically keep it onto like OST thing, I mean, I don't know. Not really. No, I'd throw it on Champloo is what I would do. You know,
I haven't studied for many years, like seriously, because I'm not in school anymore. Ha! But the actual the Metallica album that I would almost always go to was S&M Symphony of Metallica, because it's the best one.
Oh, here's the thing. Have you experienced the fun of like workout music?
Yes.
Okay. What is that?
It's Mad World.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That
because,
works.
Because if I if because
let's
if,
go now. Let's because, go. Let's go. Let's
because
go.
Because if I listen to the Mad World and Anarchy Reigns soundtrack completely nonstop, that is when I should be done.
Yeah, okay. That works really well. There's like obviously like shit like Revengeance will get you going.
Yeah,
you know,
that album's not long enough.
It's not long. It is not long enough.
It's like half an hour.
But like when like when you're working out for like this is speaking to no one right now in the room. Like this is just but straight up like anything that's almost like militaristic hip hop like Chamillionaire and Chamillitary shit with that like left right left kind of drum beat.
Okay.
You fucking feel it. And of course, Killer Instinct.
Yeah,
you know, it gets you in there absolutely. But like, it's like those are the like you wouldn't necessarily want to hear it while you're just walking on the street or chilling at home.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to give 110, that shit'll put it in you. Get that grimy shit. Yeah, Death Grips, whatever.
Thanks, James.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Actually, we should do is take a quick word from our sponsors.
We should probably do that.
Let's do that.
Who are our wonderful sponsors on this holiday cast?
This holiday cast is brought to you by the sleep brand that comes in a box. It's the Casper.
I was going to make a joke at Billy's expense, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh, I was like, yeah, that's easy pickings, but he should probably, maybe.
Maybe. Billy wouldn't be suffering from such crippling insomnia if he actually took a look at this sponsor.
I think that might be a good idea. I mean, Casper mattresses, we're talking about the mattress that comes straight to your door in a box. You cut it open on the spot.
Well, you got the box. How big is the box, actually?
The box is about the size of, like, you.
I'm short.
It is like half your size,
okay.
I'd say.
So that's kind of weird that a whole mattress would fit in there. That's crazy.
Yeah, you cut it open and you see the whole thing unfold and it's like, whoa.
So don't do it right next to your china?
Don't do it next to the china. Put it where you want to sleep. And if you want to freak out your dog, you're going to be like, what is that? But no, you got different models too. They've got the original Casper, the Wave, the Essential. There's different design mattresses, but they've got that memory foam, breathable designs. You sleep comfy throughout the night. If I was getting exhausting myself with all those workouts and then going to sleep on a bullshit hard mattress,
it's not even good for you.
You wouldn't even get the benefits I was describing.
I'm not grandpa. I'm not going to sleep on the floor. It's not good for my back.
Exactly. And again, free shipping and returns in US and Canada. 100 nights risk-free to try out one of these mattresses. I love mine.
That's ridiculous.
I'm holding that thing for as long as it'll have me. Until it says no.
Which is quite a while, because mattresses last, like, years.
Damn straight it does. So, if you want to get in and start sleeping ahead of the curve, you can head on down to casper.com/friendcast and use the promo code friendcast to check out, and you get $50 off. That's casper.com/friendcast with the offer code friendcast, and that's $50 off your mattress purchase. Get yourself a good mattress. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve
it. It's a third of your life.
Get yourself something nice. You know, like you like grandma slips a dollar in your pocket, tap you on the cheek, buy yourself a little mattress, huh? Thanks, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
All right. So, let's see here.
Who do we got?
We've got Katie asking, Super Best Friends, when I was a babby, I remember getting a DS for Christmas.
That's radical.
With FFTA.
That's
by far the best gift I've ever gotten. I'd kill for the joy of opening it again. If you could reopen a gift from your childhood and get the same feeling, what would it be?
All right. You go first because I have mine locked in immediately.
Yeah, I mean, there's the like the only like the peak of hype hitting a 14 on 10 was when we got our Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
so it was me and my brother ripping open the SNES. And
you got to have a super, you had the woolly Super Nintendo kid moment.
Nintendo 64. Yeah, we got one of those. That's there's nothing that'll ever beat that.
Now I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it pretty much every single fucking year on this Christmas cast, because my dad's stupid mistake and not knowledge about video games gave me and my brother and sister the best Christmas ever.
Yeah, it sure did.
Goes to get Sonic 3D Blast for the Genesis, a game that I wanted, and boy, was that the dumbest fucking ask ever, because that game sucks. Gets the Saturn version. Wrapping the presents two nights before, mom goes, "That's the wrong game. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go change that." Goes back. Guess what? Sold out. But you know what's not sold out?
Mm-hmm.
The Saturn fucking bundle for like $300 that has Virtua Cop, Virtua Fighter 2, and Daytona USA. He goes, "Well, it's going to cost a little more and I'll have to work a weekend or two. But fuck it. I'm going to have the best Christmas ever." So he gives us the Saturn version of Sonic 3D Blast that morning. And we go, Dad, you screwed up.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Did I?" And pulls out this big box. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get to do the young Midoriya. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I played Sonic 3D Blast once and then never again, straight up, never again. That game is so bad. But that's where my love affair with Virtua Fighter started.
Dad knew best. Pat was dumb.
It's good.
It's a good mistake.
It's a good mistake to make.
We've got one coming in from George. He says, "Jolly Yuletide, friends.
Yo.
And what are, in your opinion, what spots in Montreal do the best job of going all out for Christmas?" The old fucking port.
Yeah.
The old port is
even way before Christmas, because it's the old port.
It's already
like a Christmas card.
Exactly, right? So it's already a brick-laid streets, waterfront.
Well, it's the second
old
oldest
shops.
Spot in the continent.
Exactly.
The only
right?
one that's older is like the Garrison over at Quebec City.
So all the buildings look like fucking exactly a Christmas card, and you just you lightly tap and cover all of them with some snow, and then put a whole bunch of lights up, and you get a magical wonderland.
You get like Hogwarts,
yeah,
but Frencher.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah, there's no comparison because it doesn't
so.
Have to do anything.
No. There's definitely, if you go up to, they don't, not Westmount, because there's, not a whole lot of Christian people up there.
No, it's all Jewish folks, so but, Christmas ain't that big, and Hanukkah doesn't have that many cool decorations, to my knowledge.
But if you go out to the West Island, mm-hmm. right, the West Island in Montreal is basically the sequestered land that the English took for themselves.
Yes.
And they built all their houses out there, and you can drive out to, like, the suburbs.
Yeah.
There are, but it's like, yeah, like, upper middle class suburbs.
Yeah,
you can drive around and see like people that go all out.
You get to see the fucking people sync their house up to like Christmas orchestra
music,
techno.
Yeah, exactly. Rudolph like made out of lights crossing the roof and shit like that. If you want to go, just see the, because they have contests,
mm-hmm.
and they have, so like if you want to go see all the entrants for the Christmas decorations contest, you can head out to the West Island. But for just good old classic warm Christmas feelings,
just go down to the old port,
old fucking port, man, easy. And they've even got the old style lamps out on the streets too, so you can really appreciate those. Let's take.
Just be careful because those streets are hard as shit. And if you take a tumble like Matt did, you'll probably do more than bust your ass.
Yeah. I mean, the horses can do it, so...
Horses have more legs than us, Wooly.
They've also got, like, hooves
that
suck, because if they crack, then the horse is, like, fucked.
That's why you put horseshoes on them.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. We got one coming in from...
Horse hoove is just, like, a big nail.
It is. And that's really, that's what I'm like, I mean, if I only had one nail, one finger, like that'd be suffering.
And that's why you can pound nails into it and they don't give a shit. Cause it doesn't, there's no nerve endings in it.
We got one from Niera. Niera says,
"Hey, yo, what up?
There are Canadian trifecta. It's December. So that means now Christmas presents, family, bitch laps."
What?
I was rewatching the cutscenes from FF15, and holy shit, did I forget that Arden slapped Luna so hard he knocked the braid out of her hair.
Oh man, I never caught that. He does.
I had to endure the threat of my mama telling me she'll slap the black off multiple times. And watching that scene had me rolling and horrified. What are some of the best slaps you've seen in media? And I said some of the best, not just the best.
Okay, some of the best.
Throw out what you can. Oh boy.
In media, nothing's gonna beat like the best is, hey Rick, come here. I gotten something to tell you. And the full on Charlie Murphy fucking full on down palm. Force pound palm on Rick James in the Chappelle Show bit.
Yeah.
That's number one for me.
That's a big one.
Fuck. Oh, slaps. I feel like any slap that knocks something out of someone's mouth, like a cigarette or a cigar, whatever, you kind of like it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's definitely it's hard to say though. I mean, there's world star shit.
Yeah,
right. There's the famous eight ball jacket. Have you seen that clip?
I'm not sure I've seen that one.
Eight ball jacket, just like big like dude on the subway, and like for some reason, girl starts picking a fight with him.
Yeah.
And like in his I don't even remember what was happening, but all I know was like he was getting pushed and put and attacked by this girl and whatever, and eventually just has enough and turns around, and it's
the crack world round world.
You see a hit spark, you know what I mean?
Do you see the sonic boom coming off the waves?
It's nuts. You see like the guy alarm a little bit. It is fucking brutal.
Okay, let's think.
There's always definitely that. I mean, the one they describe it like, there's always that anime one where villain hits princess and princess's entire body goes sideways.
The backhand?
Yeah. Okay. Like the body goes vertical kind of thing. That's always like ridiculous too. But I think like that's not as good as
the one he's talking about at 15 is like astonishing, and I like it's a character that looks invincible and.
Okay.
Oh God. Oh, let me think. Who's got? You know what I actually really like? It's not as visceral, but it's the slap, and it's usually a woman against a man, and the slap doesn't hurt, but it's about like the disgust. It's just a physical representation of emotion. Like shame.
Yeah. I will always say though that like, because you brought up Chappelle, like a good old face smoosh is more embarrassing than a slap. Like when he smooshes the
five finger
the girl, and as he's walking through the club, like the good old smoosh, I'll take over a slap any day.
Well, because that involves the no look.
Yeah. But yeah, slap the black out your mouth is absolutely a thing.
Really, I never encountered that in my childhood.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh,
that's a weird one.
I don't think there's much to slap out. Send us cool slaps on Twitter.
Oh boy.
From media.
There's a lot of
not
them.
From video sites.
Okay, so dear
anime slaps.
Dear overlooked mini bosses, Brent asks.
Hey Brent, what up?
To wish Merry Christmas to you guys and
thank you kindly.
Merry birth miss to Wooly since we share it. Oh cool.
Oh that's nice.
Being a December baby can be hard with cheap relatives who like to roll a crappy gift off as a Christmas birthday gift. Has it been a problem for me? Absolutely. I think I talked about that.
Every single kid I knew that had a December birthday complained like fucking crazy around the 15th.
Yeah. It's just like we're gonna fucking I mean, it's better. Like, it's nice that it wasn't nothing. So I appreciate the thought, but it just like you get so shafted, man. Anyway,
the one that made me like the most feel sorry for somebody. I knew a kid in high school who had three brothers, and he's the only one who had the December holiday.
Yeah.
And as a result, he was the only one who got that bullshit.
Like
the parents didn't even think to. Oh,
God damn it!
What was that?
Get office on this device.
Oh, fuck off. No, but like all the other kids had the split birthdays and got the things that they like as it should.
Yeah.
But because this one brother had the December one, he got the roll in. And like, I don't know what the fuck the parents were thinking. Like, he's too stupid to realize that shit's getting rolled over.
Yeah.
That his gifts end up being like a 1.4 equivalent or fucking whatever. But like, sucks.
I don't want a gift and then a patch. Give me two in the span of a short period of time.
Like, it's like, oh, it's not much for your birthday, but don't worry, Christmas is right around the corner. And yeah, like, the but it with brothers and sisters, that doesn't work, because they're gonna be shit.
Exactly,
they're gonna be bastards.
That, if you're an only child and you're in a December baby situation, then you're not, you might not notice it because it's all you know. But if you have comparisons that you can make to your cousins and brothers and sisters,
it's nonsense.
You see how horseshit it is. Yeah, and if and for not Wooly, what is the cheapest gift you can remember
that I, mean, I received?
Yeah, well, don't call out the person, you know, because that's kind of yeah.
If the people that I had in my life that would get me cheap gifts, like the type, would in fact just get me nothing. So that's not the kind of thing. Like, there were a lot of like, oh, nothing. Thanks. Right? Like, but the cheapest, like, is like probably like a $20 gift card to the SAQ or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Gift cards to come in, you know. Yeah. Why not?
I ended up getting into a weird stalemate with my brother for like many years, in which we didn't know what to get each other, and we ended up getting each other identical gift cards. It's like, why don't we just keep them?
Yeah.
Like, whoops.
Let's see. Jesse says, "Dear best friendos, my brother and I pooled our Christmas money together and bought a 360 the year it came out.
Fucking sick.
We didn't shut it off for 6 days straight.
Hell yeah, you did.
And it red ringed.
No, I should have known that's where this is going.
Barring the not working out of the box, what is the fastest console kill time you've ever had?
Does instruments count?
Instruments?
Yep. Fucking my, remember we got back from fucking Buffalo and my fucking guitar, Rock Band guitar was busted out the box.
Okay, so he said barring busted out the box.
Okay, barring busted out the, shit, okay.
Yeah, like it worked and then it did not. That sucks though. That's a bummer, dude. Sorry, Jesse. Yeah.
I've had a video card fail within.
Oh God, computer parts for
within
sure.
Within 2 days of purchase.
Yeah. No, computer parts you don't always catch right
They'll
away.
They'll turn on.
Yeah.
But it's a bad batch. It's a lemon. It's gonna go.
And if like the longer things are going, like let's say you're fucking like if your power supply doesn't work, your computer's not turning on.
Yeah, that's right.
But if your fan doesn't work,
you're
like,
not gonna notice for a little bit.
It's gonna take a little minute, and then you might start doing damage to your shit. So yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I beeline through Witcher 2. Like, you know, it's a 40-50 hour game, and I like got and I burned through it in a couple days with a brand new video card that I bought for Witcher 2.
Yeah.
And then I get to the third act, which is much shorter. It's like basically the end of the game, and all of a sudden just catastrophic visual corruption and fucking video errors and just the kinds of like visual glitches that you're like, no, this thing's dying. Mm-hmm. This isn't a driver. This mm-hmm. isn't a like that specific white crackle with video lines.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
I guess I'd have to say Dreamcast because at some point in the process of owning six of them, there definitely was at least one or two that were good for not even like the time frame, but it was like probably five uses before it was like, oh no, this one's on its last legs already too.
For as bad as the 360 is, in that the 360, the original versions of the 360, they will die within a year or two, like 100%.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast was worse.
Yeah, like again, I have bodies. I have a Dreamcast graveyard, you know? And that was when I learned how to like, that was my first real tweaking with like electronics and learning how to fix them stuff was fixing Dreamcasts.
Yeah, the Dreamcast and the 360 are the all-time winners because failure rate is judged on a five-year cycle.
Yeah.
And both of them have failure rates of 100%.
And the thing the
That's crazy.
It's nuts. And the thing with the Dreamcast too is that like you can have there's different failure states too, because you can have the Dreamcast that doesn't work, or you can have the Dreamcast that turns on but just won't spin.
Yeah.
Right? And the Dreamcast
that would happen to PlayStation 1s too.
And that you can accelerate by like popping in burnt discs is you're gonna fucking, you know, it's gonna itself into not working anymore. But those you can kind of force by fucking with the potentiometer.
And then you get to that nightmare scenario that you would do with PS1's particular, but I think it worked for the Dreamcast too, where the track would wear out. So you're flipping, you're putting it in, turning it on, and turning it upside down.
Yeah.
Or, oh, the PS1 works better on its side.
Yeah, I remember that weird way.
Like,
yeah.
Come on.
But no, with your Dreamcast, if you used it in an official capacity and maximized its life, you still had a shot of it just not turning on. That was about a couple months, but it's
goofy because the Dreamcast like died early, despite it being objectively more easy to die than the 360, the 360 is the one people think of and like, oh, that's the one that just dies 100% no problem, right?
Yeah, but the
Dreamcast was worse, but they discontinued it pretty early so that like That skew never kind of solidified.
They replaced the skew early on, and they had that like that really aggressive and like functional replacement program.
Yeah.
That they rolled out immediately, which is just like, yeah, please just send them all in, get a new skew. You know, I did that one time with my old Game Boy, and I remember like I spilled a bottle of 7-Up on it. And it was just done.
Yeah.
And I sent it to Nintendo and like they sent it back and it was like it was still a little squishy, but it turned on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got one coming in from Jeffrey. He says,
"Hey Jeff.
I was listening to the old casts when I hit the Christmas one and Matt brought up Santa's compound. After hearing this, the image of Big Boss in a Santa outfit came to me. What is your favorite holiday themed level of a game?"
Hitman, Blood Money, Christmas Party.
Really strong. Really strong one. Up in the fucking mountains.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Shoot the pool.
Shoot the pool.
Yeah.
Shoot the pool.
Because there aren't that many holiday-themed levels.
No,
that's the main issue.
Because if I were to just say like a Mario Snow level where the music sounds Christmassy, does that really count?
No.
Know?
Not really.
There is a really fun Christmas stage in Darkstalkers.
There is.
There's a winter wonderland kind of stage that is like, it's kind of Christmassy.
I feel like aren't there David Cage games that take place on Christmas? Doesn't Indigo Prophecy take place on Christmas?
Yeah, that's your favorite. What about Hugo? Hugo stage. Isn't Hugo stage?
I thought it was just weird.
Wasn't there presents that are bouncing around?
Yeah, but I thought those were for Hugo.
I think yeah. But isn't it not because it's like Christmas and Hugo's getting all those presents? No, am I wrong?
I don't
circus. I feel like it's Christmas in that stage.
I don't.
Maybe it's not.
I always felt like it was just a weird, creepy.
Yeah, it is. No, it's totally Christmas. There's a Christmas tree and everything. It's totally Christmas. Third Strike, Hugo stage. For sure. There we go.
Street Fighter V has a Christmas stage, but it's pretty boilerplate.
Yeah.
It's pretty normal.
It's not. There's nothing too special about that. So, okay. I'll take that.
Shit. Fuck. The fucking, the top of the Millennium Tower in Yakuza.
Okay.
Because Yakuza is nearly exclusively a Christmas series. It's like Die Hard.
Oh. It always takes
it
place?
It doesn't always, but it quite often does.
A lot of it relies on that, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a fun one in Tag 2 as well. In Tekken Tag 2, there's a fun Christmas stage. But the lighting is nice, but otherwise it's kind of typical. But yeah, anything that's like, you know, out in a pine field or a Christmas tree yard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take one from...
Can I just say the Nakatomi Plaza? It was in a game once, I guess.
Was it?
Yeah. Die Hard Trilogy.
Fine.
That game is dog shit.
Okay, so we got one coming in from Ronnie. He says, "Hey guys, I know you haven't followed the latest Kamen Rider. Something happened that recently reminded me of one of those stories Pat told me about when he was so devastated when the Green Ranger won, and it was a huge life moment for him. One of the last episodes of the year was the Christmas episode. They straight up... Okay, well,
Did he just spoil the thing?
Yeah, I'm going to move past this the question because the question involves like spoilers.
Spoiling the end of a Kamen Rider series?
So I won't do that. Not that like it's a like, big deal because it's fucking Kamen Rider, but at the same time...
The bad guys are going to win, guys.
Yeah, let's not do that. So sorry, buddy.
Hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't write questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel when Wolverine showed up in Star Wars? Well, come on!
Oh, there's that news. There's Disney buying everything forever.
Oh, bow down to our fucking corporate entertainment overlords, huh?
Well, hey, on the one hand, now Marvel MCU Act 2 can actually be the X-Men and all that stuff.
Get yeah, Bobby Hill and Marvel!
Yeah, Wolverine's back in the right hands.
On the other hand, the most...
fucking Monopoly!
On the other hand, the most egregious abuser of copyright law ever is now owning of the movie industry.
What do you mean Mickey Mouse is out of like his public domain? No, he's not.
He should have been public domain like 40 years ago.
No, he's not. Push that shit back. Push it back.
Good for Marvel video games. Bad for Marvel fan works.
Okay. Do you have any traditional video games for Christmas? Like Die Hard is a traditional Christmas movie, quote unquote.
Oh, games that you traditionally play around Christmas?
From Henry.
I guess the only one I could say.
Oh, from the Scrubcore Collection producers.
The only one
Henry Hallucinate.
The only one I could think of is if it's a Christmas where like me and my brother are going to be hanging out for quite some time, depending on what extended family arrives, the answer is fighting games.
Yeah.
Right?
Pass that shit around. I mean, Mario Party also does fine.
That's too... No. It's too real for Christmas.
Mario Party can do fine if you do it on fast mode.
Depends who's there.
But a lot of the time, too, it would just be going over and watching, like, the new kids just playing Halo. Yeah. And or, like... No, it'd be Halo. It'd always be Halo.
Your family, it's the Halo.
And yeah. I was like, for a second, I was like, no, there's... Well, yeah, there's one time it was like GTA, but when it comes to the multiplayer stuff, they're all just sitting around playing split-screen Halo.
I got to pick up a gift for my nephew, who I got the Switch. He's got a bunch of them, but I'm pretty damn sure he doesn't have Mario, so
yeah.
There's an easy Christmas decision for Pat.
And since we have a lot of new listeners, it'd be nice to just get this one out of the way. Dear Super Festive Christmas Cast, since it's coming up soon, do you guys have any great Christmas stories to share? We do, and we've shared them all.
The old Christmas podcasts are like completely non-topical.
Yeah.
So they actually maintain their relevance a lot longer than the average podcast. So by all means, go back and listen to
them. They work in a vacuum. So we've told just about...
I've told that one with my dad and the Saturn the third time now.
Yeah. We've told all of them for people for a while. So go back and check out previous years. We've gotten those out of our systems, I'd say. Dear best friends minus Matt, was that predicted?
Yes.
Holy shit. Well, because that was not
what's
sent.
The date on that?
That was not sent today.
Yeah. Well, Matt did talk about breaking his ass yesterday. So
did he? Okay.
Yeah. He put out a tweet saying, I fucking fell in the ice. Fuck.
Oh.
But was that sent before yesterday?
Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
Good job telling the future, buddy.
Sprankton wants to know what fictional
Sprankton?
Food... Yeah.
Okay.
Wants to know what fictional food you wish was on your holiday table.
Porg.
It looks pretty delicious.
You
know, I mean, for a while, like, I'd say butterbeer, but now they have butterbeer, right?
It's overrated.
Okay, I still want to try it.
It's not beer; it's like a root beer.
I still want to try it.
That's fine.
The alcoholic version, maybe even the slushy version.
I don't think they're. Well, they don't give you an alcoholic version in fucking Harry Potter world.
No, you got to make it yourself, yeah. Which people figured out.
Slurm.
Koopy.
I could go for a slurm.
Koopy sandwich with a side of virility.
I want to try out all those fucking fantasy energy drinks, man. Like. They look poisonous.
Oh, I got one. I want a senzu bean. I want to know. If I have to, there you go. A senzu bean salad. Three senzu beans.
A salad?
A three senzu bean salad.
What do you expect a new encounter at your Christmas?
Power. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
or like any of that Vanillaware shit, you know. But the Vanillaware stuff is all based on real life, so there's nothing fictional about that. It's delicious looking, but it's all real. So yeah, there you go.
I can't think of a fictional food like, you know, ooh, delicious looking, that's not based on a real animal,
right?
That jumps out at me,
because why would it then be delicious to you?
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I think that's kind of the conundrum.
Yeah, that's the issue. Because I'm like, oh, I want that special type of weird alien thing that looks identical to a chicken in this thing, you know? Alligator meat. There's a fictional food.
I suppose so. You can get that.
Yeah, no.
Wait for Beer Fest.
Okay.
They bring it.
What about roux meat? Can I eat a... What? Dollar, can I eat a root? What the fuck? They're getting worse.
Yeah. They're Holly Jolly Matt, Little Drummer Liam, Jolly Old St. Willie, and Pat the Krampus. Okay, this is asking for Christmas memories again.
I'm a Krampus.
You're a Krampus.
Krampus is actually crazy cool looking.
What is a Krampus?
Krampus is a fucking form of Christmas demon. It's got like giant like stag antlers.
What?
There is a movie about it, but it is an existing old-fashioned thing.
Huh. Okay. I will say in vain
of... It's like an anti-Santa Claus.
Okay. Can we say, fucking, like, some of those meals that Iggy was putting together? Because, like, when you hunt those wild, weird beasts, and then he makes an amazing dish out of it, and it looks super tasty... Some of them looked really good.
Yeah.
I can't remember, like, in particular.
Yo, Wooly, here's what Krampus looks like.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Isn't it cool, though?
That's a really scary...
It's the devil.
Okay. Well, I mean, there was the whole, like, anti-Santa thing in like, I want to say Scandinavian countries where, like, if you were bad, you didn't get a lump of coal. You got taken away.
Yeah. Wow.
Not coal. He'd show up and just, like, if bad children get kidnapped and killed, don't be bad.
Wow, that's... Yeah, that is pretty Scandinavian.
So there's that. We got one coming in from Aaron. He says,
Yo.
Super best, ho, ho, ho. Love podcasts and LPs, Soul Series being my favorites. We all know Frosty the Snowman and The Snowman by Raymond Briggs is a Christmas classic playing every year here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But if there could only be one, who would want to fight?
Between?
Frosty the Snowman and The Snowman by Raymond Briggs.
I don't know what that is.
Neither do I, so we're going to have to move on. Well done.
Good job bobbying our waffles.
I'll save it by swerving into...
I'm going to ask... let's see if Klimps is on Discord right now so I can just ask him what the fuck he's... What, Raymond Briggs?
The Snowman by Raymond Briggs, yes. But again, I can save it by swerving into a semi-related thing that a study came out last month, basically, that confirms that if you are an employee working in a place that plays Christmas music over and over for the entire holiday season, it is bad for your mental health.
Shocker.
It makes you irritable and it makes you actually like you're generally at a higher stress level.
Hey, guess what? I used to work in a grocery store that played nonstop Christmas music.
Yeah. People like you have to tune it out basically to function, and the all of your effort is spent tuning it out.
So
you have no energy to do anything else.
I want to break down a really specific, probably unique to Montreal issue of working in a location that plays Christmas music 24/7. Montreal is a bilingual town. This means that the Christmas music track list at your local whatever is actually half as long because it's Winter Wonderland with the French version of Winter Wonderland on the same list. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with the French version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So there's only actually six fucking songs on that list. And they just play ad nauseum all the fucking time.
Yeah. And there is one in particular that I fucking despise. But you know what? I'm not going to say it. But I will say that, like, yeah, there's a whole paper you can look up here on the effect of playing Christmas music early on employees, and it's pretty much devastating. So everyone that's like working and asking you if you need a hand, even if they're just temporary workers for that rush, be nice.
Yes.
Because they're fucking already at 7.
It's the worst.
And spending all of their power holding back that, they're, you know, from breaking because of that music. All
right. I have some clamps fucking pulled together with a fucking immediate summary and video for our
what
amusement.
What the shit?
All right. I'm going to just directly quote our buddy Clamps here. Okay, so the snowman is this cartoon they used to play every Christmas in the UK. And it was about this kid who built a snowman. Then it was real. But they go flying around everywhere while some choir boy sings about how they're walking in the air. Then at the end, he wakes up and sees the snowman has fucking melted and died. The end.
Jesus.
All right, so... And, you know, he also put a fucking... Here's the video, but you can see the fucking snow... So, there's a snowman Superman flying around with a kid.
I see.
Like, the kid's Lois Lane. All right, so Frosty can't fucking fly.
No.
But Frosty is straight up magical. And Frosty's fucking body transfers if you take the fucking carrot and all that shit and put it onto a new snowman.
So he is immortal and indestructible.
So he is... The snowman in England might be stronger because flight implies... some shit, right? But as long as you have new snow, Frosty will never die. So Frosty will eventually win the fight. I mean, the fight could last 4 months, and then Frosty will come back the next year. As long as you keep that shit around.
Sorry to swerve. I got a fucking Christmas present and a half to announce right here,
what's
right
that?
Now.
What's that? That
drops
what's that?
Right now.
What's that?
If you love something, set it free.
Uh-huh.
In January... the final game build of Rising Thunder will be released with local play to play for free forever, and it'll be open source.
Are you fucking serious?
Happy holidays.
Who put Seth put that out?
That's just the Rising Thunder Twitter account.
Yeah! That's super good.
That's a later build than the latest version we ever played.
Yeah, so whatever they've been working on is like their new project. So they're going to take Rising Thunder, make a free, open source, local player version, and then throw it out there. So who knows where this goes, but that's fucking cool.
If it's open source, that system is ideal for jamming shit in there.
Exactly.
It is better than Mugen. And
now we have a platform to
fuck with.
Yeah. People take that ball and run with it. Holy shit. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fuck yeah, Rising Thunder. Radiant
Man, their
Games.
Next game must be the shit. They don't have to worry about this.
If they're like, if they're just like, yeah, there you go, it's behind us. Whatever they're doing must be something.
I am so ready for that League of Legends fighting game.
Oh, man.
That they are obviously working on.
Are they?
It has to be.
Are they? It's like, I don't know, man. Rumors are flying around and nobody can confirm. We don't know what's happening, but... if this is the new Mugen, it might not be because it's not the same.
It's harder and it's 3D models but not sprites.
Exactly. And it's like,
but I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Street Fighter V modding and model manipulation has gone places.
The Smash Brothers. Yeah. So like there's gonna be shit.
Put Pika Man in Rising Thunder.
It's gonna be a platform for shenanigans, but it's gonna take considerably more effort than like something like Mugen.
Yeah, I know, but like the just the way the inputs are already staggered inside the build. Like makes it so much. You don't have to do motions. It's a button.
Yeah. This is a really, really, really good present.
Also, Rising Thunder on its own is fucking awesome.
Holy shit! All right.
Watch there be a new character in there. Just fucking bam.
Who knows? I mean, they're saying. Basically, the actual article says, inspired by your efforts to bring back the game. We'd like to pitch in with a little help. So here's what we're doing this January, Rising Thunder Community Edition. We're giving the game back to you guys, the community, and letting you run with it. So final game build. We've tinkered with the old build, adding offline, local play, quality of life improvements, Local play will support keyboard versus controller only.
Oh.
But it should be straightforward to hack with one-player controller support through external scripting.
Someone will fix this.
Okay. Just to be clear, this release is basically the same one you had in your hands when we turned off the servers. Please don't expect new characters, systems, etc.
Okay.
Source code is for an open source version of Rising Thunder. For the Rising Thunder server, so you can play match-made games online. The original art. Let me read that again. Source code for an open source version of the Rising Thunder server, so that you can play match-made games online. The original RT server is somewhat of a beast, segmented into different services that aren't particularly easy to deploy or maintain. So instead of we've whipped up a first pass and bare bones server that'll allow you to play online with rudimentary matchmaking and limited features. We're making it open source so that if you're inclined, you can tinker and improve it. All of this is free and will stay that way forever. In the meantime, our team has moved on to develop something new, and we'll share that with you when the time is right. But until then, happy holidays from the
rest of the time. Some team is going to pick this up and release Rising Thunder 1.2 or some shit.
Well, exactly. The community will form their Smash Boards back room.
Well, guess what? The answer is now solved forever. Hey, I don't know how to play fighting games. What do I start with?
Rising Thunder.
Because it's going to be free forever.
That's a good one.
Good job.
Fucking awesome. And I'm glad that they listened to the community that was like, hey.
Well, it sucked because that game is awesome and it was gone forever.
Yeah, no. And I'm just looking in here and I'm like, okay, so this Reddit board is just handfuls of people going like, oh man, oh geez, for months, you know. that's all the forum just turned into, oh.
I remember when you could do Dauntless, then you do the ground pound.
Any news for Private Server Project?
No.
Any how can I play? Anyone remember this part? Ask Riot. You know, there's always just oh.
Remember that there was a character that could have a decent fireball game, even though there were fucking cooldowns and how crazy that was?
Yeah. Anyway, so... This just coming in, also, there is a Krampus Funko Pop figure. So
that sounds like it could actually be pretty accurate.
If you want to see the Krampus, it's this weird...
It's looking, the devil, man.
It's the Satan.
Yeah.
It's the Christmas Satan.
Wow, this January of 2018 is, hey, everybody, fighting games.
Seems like it.
You got the DBZ beta. You got AE coming out. Then you got DBZ coming out.
It's good.
Rising Thunder will be out.
That's good stuff. I hope people do cut their teeth on our Rising Thunder because, those training wheels need to exist. And the fighting game with cooldown is, again, a concept that that deserves to go a little bit further.
I agree. That's a good surprise.
Let's get back to some Christmas mail. We got one coming in from Bevy and Super Best Friends. After hearing,
do they have a bevy of questions?
After hearing in the podcast that you've told all the Christmas stories, what would be your favorite Christmas special that has a show or a series that a show or series has done?
What's my favorite Star Christmas Wars. Special? It's Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything better than that? I don't think you can really beat that.
It's
that's
fucking nuts.
That's locked in. That's
it's all. Crazy.
Yeah. There's a power gap between Star Wars and then second place, whatever the fuck that may be.
Probably Muppets. Something.
Sure. Yeah.
Boy, I sure love the Muppets.
And
their continued life and use in this world.
Jim Henson was a pretty talented motherfucker. He's a good guy.
He will live forever.
As long as somebody can prop him up with sticks on his limbs.
Well, don't worry. Disney's got that.
They certainly do.
Go back and watch the fucking Jim Henson versus Stan Lee epic rap battle for more context about the horror of this world.
Okay.
Well, we should just buy all the other LP channels and just fucking just do that. Is that a solution available to us?
To buy, I mean, are they for sale?
No.
Well, everyone has
a
price.
And we can't afford them. That's the main thing.
Everyone has a price if you go high enough. But then does that mean they then continue making LPs under us?
Yeah.
Or does that mean that all of those channels just become videos with us?
Well, we get the rights to their characters.
But then who's actually recording the LP? Are we putting our videos there?
Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
That completely broke down. I didn't think that through at all.
No, no, no. I can't say that you did.
Oh, well.
All right. They're Super Best Santa Pals. I'm the manager for an escape room company in Oregon.
Fucking sick.
The obvious break room talk here is, if you could make any themed escape room with an infinite budget, what would it be? So today I extend the question to you guys. What kind of escape room would you make with an infinite budget? What would the ultimate goal of the room be? And what would be the big cool reveal? I'd personally like to have a Groundhog's Day room where one big room has a wall in the middle splitting into two smaller ones, and it goes into detail. So yeah, there's some stuff, but it would be a Groundhog's Day Bill Murray nightmare. I've talked about this a bit with friends coming out of escape rooms and stuff, and like we've like talked about how cool it would be if there was like a couple of scenarios, right? I think you could actually do a really awesome nonary game.
Yes,
right. I think you could actually pull that off.
The no budget is nine persons, nine doors, nine rooms.
Exactly.
Like.
And
9 hours, sorry, whatever.
And of course, there is Trust on Trial, which is a zero escape themed escape room, but like a whole boat,
yeah,
you know, of that shit would be fantastic.
The
idea I was thinking of was almost it's less of an escape room and more of an immersion thing. But if you can do one of those like where we rented out an abandoned town, things. Then you can create like limits and basically go, all right, so you're here for, let's say, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And like you're in it the whole time. And you have the equivalent. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be zombies, but there can definitely be like an encroaching threat in the form of like people that work for the company that can't find you and stuff like that.
There was a business venture that never went through, but there were a couple guys who ran a paintball company.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do was buy up something like 10 square miles of Detroit that was totally uninhabited and abandoned.
Paint war.
And turned it... No, they wanted to turn it into a fucking zombie apocalypse scenario.
Okay, yeah, yeah, all right.
And,
yeah.
And Detroit was like, no, we're not selling off parts of the city for paint... What? No.
Shit.
Something a little more reasonable. I would like a reverse escape room.
Okay.
I would like a scenario in which... it requires an actor to be in there with you, but it is basically you are trying to escape from, let's say, a prison cell or what, you know, a large prison environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor is a murderer, monster, anything.
Yep.
And they are trying to get through their sequence of the escape room.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
And the escape room is less about escaping, but it's more about creating escape room puzzle, like solving the escape room puzzle that seals the door and slows them down.
Right. Okay, that could be interesting.
Like,
as long as you can see their progress.
Like instead of you have 50 minutes to escape, it's like this door will open and let you out in half an hour.
Yeah.
But and all the puzzles do is put increasing locks and barriers in
place
between you and the actor knows how long to spend on them.
Okay.
And like, as a result, the actor also gets physically closer to you in the room as you are solving these.
Competitive escaping.
Well, it's a fake competition because they're actually on a timer. They're actually like looking at their watch and be like, okay.
That'd be fun.
Because a lot of people just would not be able to complete any part of that at all.
Or you can go for the, and there's a version of this that I did in Montreal here, but like definitely a more full-blown, almost Time Crisis-like co-op experience. where you can go out, you're on separate paths that converge, mm-hmm. and then they have to separate again, would be a really nice thing. But I think if you have a big abandoned place to play with, mm-hmm. you can do, everyone has the idea that you can do a big immersive experience.
The right? Groundhog Day version, like, I can imagine there are elements of this because it's the most budgety one at all, and it is literally like, it is a fucking quantum mechanics thing of yeah. like, there are two identical rooms.
Yeah.
And one is in the past and one is in the future. And it takes, let's say, several minutes to go through the wall. Like, and that gives people on the other side time to modify the room in accordance to things you have changed in the past.
Well, or, dude, I mean, like, look, what's to stop you with enough space from making a PT hallway that connects to a PT hallway that connects
you
to a PT hallway?
You either need a ton of space or some severe mechanization that will actually, like, raise and lower you to different platforms.
Either there's mechanization involved to make it repeat.
Yeah.
Or, but you'd feel the rumble of that and it'd kind of kill it.
Well, no, you know what you would do? Your PT hallway is 9 stories. Because at the end of PT, you'd go down one floor to the basement.
So then it just keeps... Yes, it's a cycle.
9 stories, and then each story is identical, but increasingly
that,
worse.
That would do it. That would definitely do it.
But you need 9 stories of a hallway to do that.
Well, dude, Sleep No More in New York is like an abandoned fucking warehouse hotel that has like 6 floors of bullshit going on. So it is possible, but... Not everyone is willing to be trapped in that kind of scenario. You need enough people that are willing to pay to be put into that kind of fucked up thing. And I think I described it before. Like, there's a thing out in the woods here near Montreal where you go and have the zombie escape experience, but like, there's different levels of like, what are you in for? And like, if you wear a green shirt, it means like, I just want to watch and run. And if you wear a yellow shirt, it means I'm down for some scary stuff, but not too much.
And
you
can, like, the red shirt is the fucking people can accost you.
I can be grabbed, thrown into a van, and forced to eat worms.
Yeah.
Like, they straight up tell you, like, you can get put into some fucked up
boxes.
You
want to wear the red shirt? Okay, sign this.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So,
I am not responsible for your ass getting kicked.
Yeah. But that exists here.
You know, when I went to Universal Studios Japan and we did, like, the zombie forest walk, that was mm-hmm. the one thing that it's, like, the bigger suspension of disbelief is not zombies attacking you. It's actors running right up until to your face, but in your heart, it's like, I know they can't touch me.
Of course.
And
of
it's,
course.
Like,
yeah.
That kind, you know, like, and that's, like, being a kid.
Yeah.
You don't have that.
Well, that's why you'd have to have a protect my flag or don't get, you know what I mean? Like, a game for part of it. Because let's say you did, like, the Spencer Estate.
Yeah.
Right? That could be a cool scenario to be in, but then what happens when you get touched,
accosted or cornered or whatever? If you know that, like, well, these actors aren't allowed to actually physically touch me, there's not a whole lot of threat you can have unless there's an object on your person that they can grab and you lose.
Yeah, although it would be fun to see, like, a dog running up to you with, like, fake, like, a sweater of its meat hanging off, and it just kind of, like, runs up to you and licks you, you know? And you're trying to get, like,
stay and pet the dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of its, it has, like, a fake, like, leak of its brain sticking out, but it's just made of clear, like,
reminds
fluff.
Me of that fucking nonsense kennel in a cell match.
What?
Fucking Boss Man and fucking, Al Snow had the fucking Hell in a Cell with dogs ringing the arena.
Oh.
And all the dogs were, like, really nice. And, like, a bunch of them took shits on the floor.
Awesome.
And it's like...
Awesome.
Like, they go to the edge and the dog jumps up and, like, starts licking Al's back.
Right.
Okay, that's...
You could always put the dog in one of those giant spider outfits. It's horrifying.
Oh, you saw that video.
Oh, that shit's scary. That'll get you. No matter how cute the dog is.
But there's a certain part of your brain that sees certain shapes at certain distances and goes,
exactly.
Fuck that.
Okay, so we got one coming in from the Dire Doe.
Like D-O-U-G-H?
D-O-E.
Oh, like a fucking deer's.
I was getting into the holiday season by listening to some past Christmas casts, and it got me thinking. my own past Christmas experiences, especially the whole Santa thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I thought about was how carefully my parents crafted the whole Santa lie. You mm-hmm. see, I grew up pretty poor, and my parents didn't want me wondering why Santa would be bringing me a simple doll, but he'd be giving my friends PlayStations or Xboxes.
Right.
So they told me that Santa and his elves would make toys at his workshop, but the parents had to pay for the raw materials. That made sense to me. At least until I tried to explain it to one of my younger cousins, and that led to me realizing Santa wasn't real. My question is, did your parents do the whole Santa Claus lie thing, and how, when did you start doubting them? That's a pretty elaborate situation to...
So, to my not only
put on a kid.
Did my parents lie super good, they lied too good, which led to me finding out Santa wasn't real after I got in trouble at school for fighting a kid. For telling me that Santa wasn't real.
Oh, boy.
Because, like, I'm one of those kids that was, like, extraordinarily close to his parents, like, probably too close,
yeah.
like, clingy. So it's like, how dare you call my mom and dad liars?
Right.
Fists right. get thrown, right? And then the principal's like, okay, I'm not. It was grade 3. It was, like, 8 or 9. And he's like, all right, go ask your mom and she'll...
Oh, he didn't break it?
No.
They had to wait for it? Yeah, okay. Well, they're the only ones who can at that
right?
point. Yeah.
And I was super pissed.
It's still like, real to me,
and
damn
no,
it.
No, I was pissed because, like, mom, I just fought a kid.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I kicked his ass, and that's bad. And now I'm wrong, right? But the reason why I was so adamant... is because my brother, sister, and I totally fucking got my parents one year. We fucking, like, so I'm 4, my brother's 8, my sister's 12. And so sister stays out of it because she knows, right? Me and the brother, brother's just about on the cusp, but I'm still full in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had gotten a video camera for videotaping fucking, you know, holidays and shit, right? So I'm asking a million questions like, hey, how does Santa do that? How does Santa do that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, it's magic. And so he puts the fucking, you know, because we had like a chimney a human being couldn't get down. It's like, how? Oh, it's magic. Oh, this is magic. And it's like, I don't know, man. That seems, you know, really convenient or whatever. And they're kind of losing us. And then just like, you'll just have to trust us, kids. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother and I come up with the idea. He's like, hey, wait a second. Hey, Dad. He's like, yeah. Why? Like, let's just catch Santa. And he like goes, what do you mean? It's like, just put your video camera in front of the tree all night.
Yeah.
And record Santa putting the presents. Like, and at the time, I was like, yeah, yeah, everyone's excited. But in hindsight, when I look back at the memory, I see my mom and dad, like, chuckling and being like, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
So what they ended up doing... was pointing a camera at the fucking tree all night, and then they stopped and started it in such a way that presents just
appeared
into view, right? One after another.
Yeah.
And at one point, there's like, oh, Santa must have thought Sandy, our little dog, was a present. So Sandy appears in front of the tree, and Sandy disappears. And like, as me and my, oh my God, it's you. Oh, it's so crazy. It's magic. And because of that, and my parents would never lie to me, that's how that belief became so strong.
I can't believe they got around it.
And they, like, good job. Fucking good job.
That's impressive.
But, like, so in the conversation with my 8 or 9, I'm like, then what the hell was that video?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, we just stopped the camera. And we turned it on again, went...
Editing. That's impressive. That's...
Adults will lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Never trust them.
It was tongue. I think, like I said, like when I think back on it, like we must have covered it in the stories, but like I feel like it was tongue in cheek from day one because of the Jesus and the whatnot. And I remember watching the videos at church about how like the origins of the cults and old Nick and the children getting kidnapped and sacrificed and.
Wait, what?
I think it ties into the whole what I just said.
I missed
like,
that part.
Santa thing, but like, there's like, no. There's these people that use. It's the same video series that was like scaring everybody about Halloween,
right?
And teaching you about what you're messing with.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same people putting out their Christmas video about old Nick.
Yeah.
You know, the not not jolly Saint Nick, you know, and how it was like Santa and Satan or the Saint, whatever. It was a crazy fucking stupid thing.
The Nicholas is a goddamn saint, though. Like, he's an actual saint, though.
Yeah. And then it's, and
but that's for the Catholics. Yeah. And you guys are Seventh-day Adventists, so that doesn't count.
Again, at some point, child sacrifice was brought up, and I fucking rolled my eyes and just went like, all right, sure.
You're telling me
that
my buddy Jimmy is worried about, but he just got an Xbox or a Super Nintendo.
Yeah. So it was with the same vein of like, although it's weird because they like it was all tongue in cheek in a way, but the Tooth Fairy was one that was taken pretty seriously
Shut
for some reason.
Up. Like that's stupid.
That was a weird. That was one where because it was just there was just no the discussion never happened, and it's such a minor thing when your teeth fall out that you're like, oh yeah, and then I get my loonie or I get my dollar or
yeah,
whatever,
great.
My $5. But yeah, that was one that was like, it was such a minor interaction with no fanfare that I ended up, I think, believing that one the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That's
weird. And let me ask you, because my
parents. And because I sleep so fucking heavy, it's not hard to stick a fucking
parents fucking told me about the fucking Tooth Fairy being fake as shit real early. Because I was a greedy ass child and like, oh, I got $2. Or a dollar, it changes over your right for a tooth. Like this one, kind of feels loose.
Exactly. Yeah, we all do.
And
then
like you come out and you just blood all over your fucking face because you've just been digging at it for an hour.
Yeah.
You're like, look, my tooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, all right. This has backfired horribly.
How much money did you get?
I got a dollar to start, and then like when I was little, and then when I from like. 4 to like 6 or 7, I got $2. I got a $2 bill.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I went from a loony to at least $5 at some point, and that was like, holy money.
I might have gone to $5 if I hadn't have fucking ruined it for myself. Right?
Oh, man. Yeah. $5 per tooth.
Because there's
fucking,
that moment.
That's a job. That's a full-time job.
There's
as
that
a kid.
Moment when you walk in and it's a kid with blood all over and your parent go, what the hell? Are you okay?
Mm-hmm,
no, it's a tooth.
Let's see here. That's
it's totally worth it. Yeah, this hurts.
You gotta get the truth out there at some point before people get punched and or start punching themselves. Both of which.
And you'll have to judge that for your own kid, right? Some kids won't fight another kid over lies. They'll just come home sad and be like, why? And other kids like me will just bust that kid's ass because he's calling my parents liars. I never apologize to him. Fuck him.
Okay, let's see here. Sure. No, this one is just asking about workout music again.
Oh, that must be new as shit.
Yeah. Hey, Megalovania, that's a pretty good suggestion, actually. Megalovania would be good listening.
What, is it telling you that you're going to have a bad time?
I mean, I can see that getting you into it. All right. Hunter wants to know, there are three wise friends, the Tim Allen movie, The Santa Claus. Tim Allen accidentally kills Santa and is magically forced to take his place because that universe... has whoever kill the current Santa become the next Santa.
Yeah, that is the rule.
So Santa has to be a killer, and that's, however,
it's accidental.
However, in the third movie, Jack Frost, jealous of Tim Allen's position as Santa, travels back in time, kills the previous Santa himself, and becomes the next Santa instead of Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, he creates the dark timeline of the Santa Claus universe, where the North Pole is an ultra-capitalistic dictatorship. Parents have to bribe Santa in order to get their children on the nice list, and Christmas has been renamed to Frostmas. That was fucking...
Dana
Carvey?
Yeah, I think it was Dana Carvey.
Virgil?
Yeah.
So my question is this. If you killed Santa by accident and had to take his place, would you become a good Santa like Tim Allen or an evil Santa like Jack Frost? And how would you reinvent Christmas in order to fit your own personal style and sense of aesthetic?
So I'd be a little bit of both, right? I would use the evil capitalistic methods in order to do good for the kids. What I would do as Santa is use my position as the world's largest source of free labor and economic like influence to affect the world economy as I see fit. It's like, hey, Apple, put the headphone jack in.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to put the headphone jack back in? Okay, I guess everyone in the world got a free iPod that you didn't get money for. Eat it. Eat it, fuckers.
My Christmas style, my death style, would be... Christmas is now a tournament.
For what?
Everyone gets to sign up, and fucking everyone has rounds to get through.
So the naughty kids are the fucking brutalizers of the tournament? Like, what, is this a fighting tournament? What is
it? It is a tournament. It can't just be fighting games, because that's not
No,
fair.
I said fighting.
Oh, God. Well, it would have to be a random skill-based tournament and or random activity tournament.
That's...
And the winner, the higher up in the brackets you get, the better your presents are.
That's fucking nuts.
That's... You get double a limb.
You fucking doing Hunger Games with...
You get presents. Double a limb, so you can make your way back up from the loser's bracket. But the higher you go... The better your shit.
How are you gonna do seating on fucking 2 billion entrants?
Well, you just make sure that you're not fighting anyone from your same neighborhood, is all. So you have to fight someone from another country, at least for the first couple rounds, and then eventually you make your way out, and then you wait it, and then you have your top eight.
This feels like the secret plan to eugenics. Hey, it looks like people from this country just win every year.
And then you get
maybe to, that's the way forward.
The winner gets to be the king of Iron Christmas. Okay,
And that entails what? What does that entail?
Getting the best presents,
and
then you have
and
to.
They rule over the other children.
Well, no, then you have to defeat me.
Okay, the adult,
the organizer of the tournament, who therefore must be the last boss.
Is this you? Is this like you being like, I have defeated the strongest child in the world. I am Wooly.
I am. If you make your way up to me. And then you can challenge and defeat me.
That's like working up the tournament to fight Goro. That's bullshit.
Then you win the ability to change the rules next time and do what you want. You get to.
Oh, it's that rule set. It's like
you earn you okay. You become the Santa. There you go. That's what it is. So it would be 1 year, but it would be fucking rad. And then who knows? Maybe that kid that won would be like, yeah, I like that shit. Let's do it again. Let's run it back, and then we get a new lore. I'm down.
You're just... All right.
Yep.
I was going to wreck the world economy, but somehow you went darker.
Okay, just remove the word economy from that sentence.
What happens to the people who lose in the first bracket of losers? Do they get fed to the reindeer?
I mean, a lump of coal is fine.
All right.
You can do it like that. That's simple enough.
Santa's going green. You get a solar panel, not a lump of coal.
Where would you have it, though? Like, do you teleport all the kids to Christmas Island?
Wait, what? Christmas Island?
Where then they? No.
What is this?
North Pole.
North Pole is like an endless field, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to do it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know there's no law there, right?
No. It's
weird international space.
Polar, yeah, it's polar law. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anything goes. All right.
Our friend Rocky took a picture at the North Pole. Guess what? There's fucking nothing.
My throne would be there.
Oh, that's the shittiest place for a fucking throne. That's like minus 50 on a good day.
Oh, man. That'd be so sick. All right.
Do you just want to be the Lich King? Is that what you want?
Like, I'm just saying, if I was a kid and I was in that world, I'd get hype as fuck. If you had to, like, PUBG in a bunch of kids over the North Pole where they drop in and survive.
30 of them just didn't open their parachutes.
Just every child gets a shot. That would be rad. I'd be so into it as a kid. I'd love it.
You're saying PUBG is your favorite Christmas level.
I'm saying I'm creating the Christmas I would have wanted in my world.
Oh, that's funny.
That's what I'm creating. Finding fucking items and shit.
See, that fantasy only works under the assumption that's like, yeah, I may not win, but I'm going to get pretty far. You never like get the assumption like, no, I'm going to get knocked out round one.
Yeah.
Set one.
I earned my Xbox. We got one from Kublai Genghis. He says, what up, Booper Booperfest friends?
Got it.
I can't handle the same old Christmas songs being played every year. It's traditional, but I personally like the covers of those classics.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are some good alternative Christmas songs? R. Kelly's 12 Nights of Christmas album that I recently discovered is a classic that I love.
I disagree. I actually like the classic versions. Bing Crosby may be a monstrous piece of shit, but his pipes are solid.
Nah. A lot of the time, I think I'd go for a remix over the classics. Depends, but... There's a lot, so it's hard to say. You know? But, yeah. And it depends, too, because, like, what we would consider a classic, other people might not. In the sense that, like, if you live in Quebec, I feel like Celine Dion... fucking singing fall on your knees.
No thanks, man. I'm out.
No. You know, like I feel like that's considered a classic to us, but other people would consider that alternative. So
I don't consider that a classic.
No, Celine Dion's not a national treasure.
Yeah, whatever. I feel like I got over her real fast, like faster than anybody around. Like okay. Titanic, I was over.
All right. Brett wants to know.
You want to talk about Shania Twain? Now there's a national treasure.
What's your favorite holiday tradition from Brett?
I don't have any traditions. I don't got a very traditional family. Like we don't like we just like Christmas. Christmas this year is I'm gonna see my immediate relatives and we're gonna have dinner.
I had a buddy who organized Festivus parties and those were
for
fun.
The rest of us.
Yeah. And
you got the feats of strength?
The feats of strength were notably absent from the celebrations, but we did celebrate Festivus, and there was, in fact, a Festivus poll.
Fuck off. Really?
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
That's so bad.
Okay. Drake asks, dear non-specific winter holiday cast, now that the year's coming to a close, we can safely look back at the year and see that a lot of successes and a ton of failures happened. Among those failures, some games were pretty much born to die within the year, like For Honor.
Yeah.
What games do you think collapsed and died super hard this year? Well, you
For Honor's the winner.
You said it. So
the fact that they had that tournament, the player who won it like used the unlock bug. And he used the unlock bug the whole way through, and no one could touch him.
Now the season 3 push was huge. They had a lot of new content and a lot, and they kept that going for a bit. So that is definitely.
Yeah, but they didn't fix any of the game's structural problems.
They did. They fixed the money thing problem. Mm-hmm. They fixed the bug, and they added a bunch of new stages and characters.
That problem has a fundamental issue with defense being too strong, and they never touched it. And it's a bummer because I really like that game a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely you might not think like if you you might not remember that it was like, oh yeah, that was a 2017 game, right? Because that could have been last
year.
Feels
very long ago.
Yeah. But a lot has happened this year too.
A lot.
So it's unfair as well that it's stacked up against such invincible odds, you know? But
I feel bad for everybody who went up against Zelda, and I feel like kind of like laughing at the idea that like Zelda wasn't going to win every single game of the year. Whether or not it deserved it or not is beyond the point. It was going to win everybody's game of the year.
Yeah.
Done. Like, do I think Nier deserved it? Probably.
I would have given it to P5.
You didn't play Nier yet.
You're right. Let's see here.
But if I hadn't played Nier, I probably also would have given it to P5 instead of Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild would be my number 3 because it's just so fucking perfect. It's not fair.
That's fair. All right. Let's see what we can grab here. A lot of bullshit spam Christmas shit.
Nice.
That we've been signed up for, so that's always.
You're going
fun.
To see your relatives. So wait, I'm bailing on this joke. I'm done.
Okay.
I was supposed to be like a dick enlargement thing. Oh. And it was going to be, you're going to go see your relative, so why don't you show off your newly enlarged dick? And then I realized like how fucking weird and creepy that was halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Luckily, I didn't actually do the joke, so now I'm safe from how weird that is.
That's fine. I guess we can just get into like normal questions.
Okay.
Since there's just a lot of those.
You run out of holiday shit?
Yeah.
Well, the main issue is that like we get these things like tell a story. It's like I've told you all of my Christmas stories. All of them. Once you become old enough as an adult, you don't get Christmas stories anymore. They become other people's stories.
Yeah.
Like your nieces and nephews or kids or whatever.
Or my realization of how my past was different from what I thought in the telling of the story. I think that was like 2 or 3 years ago. Okay, we got one coming in from Nightheart. Says, hey, Super Basta Vanner, holidays from greetings from Sweden. Pat, you mentioned you quit raiding in FF14. Just wondering if it was because you cleared the tier or for other reasons. Also, what's your opinion on the first tier of Omega?
All right, so I quit the tier. I quit raiding because me and my guys, the long and short of it is that we got through the first two, and then during the O3S progression, I have a friend who one of my raid buddies lives in Texas, and one of my raid buddies lives in Georgia, which meant that for a good 2 month period, it's like, oh, buddy's getting hurricaned, no raid tonight, right? Buddy's neighborhood's on fire. No, right? Like just nonstop natural disasters and other life things ended up like not a single week would go by with like a proper learning experience. And then a lot of frustration builds up where you're like, man, I'm blowing 3 hours a night, three nights a week, and I still haven't cleared the thing. And I don't have time to do that anymore, especially when I have other options like I could stream instead. Or just play fighting games or whatever. So it's a combination of burnout, incredibly poor timing, and frustration. What do I think of the first tier of Omega? I think it's really good, but I think that it's really slapdash. I dislike how greatest hits it feels. Like there's very little cohesive theme. Like Alexander, you are going deeper in Alexander, and Bahamut, you're going deeper into the coil. And in this one, it's like you're literally teleporting around to various arenas to fight old bosses from older Final Fantasy games. Hopefully, Simeon is a little better, but I'm not going to go into Savage. I'm only going to do the normal to see the stuff and get the generic gear.
That's okay. It. All right. Okay, well, this is a good one, but we have to be a bit delicate about it, I suppose. Figure out how to approach this. So,
all right. I'm ready for delicate.
We might have to just, you know, make a
segment. Show your dick to your relatives.
Zay Ivory says, hey, Super Best Friends, how's it going? Now with the P5 spoiler cast done and everything, it was fine, but you guys didn't do the Ziodine round like you did last time with P4. So there's a couple questions. Lightning round.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a couple of brief, direct questions that I had that weren't
okay,
answered.
Okay, P4 is like 10 years old, but we're still going to dance.
Should we just wait?
We'll leave it to the end.
Okay, we'll do it at the end. We'll do it at the end.
Remember this one. Keep that in a tab.
Although some people probably have already gone, but it's fine. We'll do it at the end. You're right. Okay, so I'll keep that open. It's a bunch of P5 things that we can get around to. That is fine.
You said about delicate. I thought it was going to be like...
Sensitive. No, just more like spoilers in the middle of the thing.
I've gotten really good about...
Okay.
Not talking of spoilers, I think.
Okay.
And then other times I'm like, fuck Suicide Squad, here's the thing.
Yeah, but then the problem is you never know who cares, right?
Yeah, like, if you care, you're wrong. That's my logic.
The
fucking Suicide Squad. No one came at me for that. Not a single person was mad about that. Because Suicide Squad sucks.
You know what I think? I think
a brave opinion.
I think the right. I think pulling up a like, you know how Punko has, I don't know if you've ever seen Punko's stream, but he has angry mode now pops up in big text on the screen when he's in angry mode.
Uh-huh.
I think spoiler mode now popping up on the screen for visuals.
Yeah, you can do that. Put a button on that, turn it on.
And then hit that on for, and then when it ends, we turn it off.
That's great. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We have much time to do that.
Yep. So we'll do that for sure. All right. Dare OVO Fan Club. Rob Canvas wants to know, as a child, despite being a few years since Santa had, since Sega had exited this console market, I was like, the fuck was that sentence? Despite being a few years since Sega exited the console market, Sonic the Hedgehog remained one of my favorite game series. Much of that, I had to just get the latest Sonic game for my birthday, that game being Sonic Heroes. However, when the big day came, my mom got mixed up and got me Sonic Adventure 2 Battle instead. Slightly disappointed, I remain grateful, gave the game a chance, and it ended up becoming one of my favorite games of my childhood.
That's a much better game than Sonic Heroes.
All this I say to ask, what, if any, is your favorite Lee Caravalo gift?
Oh, I know what that means.
What does that mean?
It's a reference to The Simpsons when Bart wants Bone Storm and Marge gets him Lee Carvello's putting challenge. I asked the guy at the store what all the boys wanted. I literally already told this story earlier on the podcast, so I'm gonna leave it to you then, Wolves. The accidental wrong gift that you actually ended up liking.
I one time got a red winter coat,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, it's just a red winter coat.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something cool. But then I really ended up liking that coat. So there's that.
That's fantastic.
Have you
hit that point yet where somebody got you socks and you were like, sick?
Yes. Yes. Fucking yeah, man. Always use a good pair of socks. My grandmother used to buy them all the time for everybody.
Miserable.
And I was like, God damn it. And then we eventually hit a year where I was like, fuck yeah, socks.
I need so many socks right now.
These are super useful. Absolutely did I hit that
point. That's the moment your childhood has died.
It is over.
That's the exact fucking millisecond.
Yeah. Absolutely. no pretending there. Johnny was watching a commercial for WeatherTech, the company that makes floor mats for cars,
mm-hmm.
and they claim to have a Christmas tree mat. Googled it because it sounded like bullshit, but it's actually true. But I also noticed that they make belts like for your waist. Do you have any favorite products that companies shouldn't have any right to produce? I don't even understand what is a Christmas tree mat?
I think it's a mat made out of Christmas, like pine needles.
I think it's a mat that goes under your Christmas tree.
Well, it's a car pro. Oh, yeah. Like the little fucking.
Yeah, the little thing that stops the pine needles from going everywhere, even though they're going to go everywhere.
I think it's weird that Konami runs health clubs, considering they seem to be intent on killing their employees.
I mean, Sony making health equipment and hospital equipment.
And life insurance.
And that being a substantial part of their income. Is weird.
Hey, here's one. Video game companies shouldn't make food items. You really got to mute that.
I mean, it's without destroying OBS, that'd be a problem.
All right.
Should
we just get Office? Is that the solution to the problem?
Well, boy. That was actually just OBS Studio disconnected, and I don't even know what that means. So, it's okay.
Oh, wait, did the podcast actually just die?
I think it's still okay. I'm just verifying. It seems to be okay. All right.
Oh, it died for a second. That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! Merry Christmas from Windows!
That's just the pop-up every time it says OBS Studio reconnected, which I All right, here's what I do.
Yeah?
Here's what I do now.
And what are you doing now?
I open the volume mixer and I fucking...
You fucking...
System sounds.
Manually push it?
Yeah. They
That's
all go
good.
Away.
That's fucking good.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
We can start winding it down.
All right. Yeah, because we've been in a real wind-up mood today.
Yeah, well...
Christmas cast is never high energy.
No, it's supposed to be low energy, you guys.
Yeah, man, you're supposed to listen to this in a fire while you burn your family photos.
So, speaking of photos, we can definitely wind it down...
With
some photos people have tweeted of some hard-ass slaps.
Okay. This is going to play real great for the audio.
Ah, jeez.
You didn't think of that, did you?
Yeah, I guess I didn't.
Yeah, people will tweet me some
Slaps. Well, I'll talk about which slaps we're talking about. So we can start off with that Zootopia fan comic that became a huge meme recently. I don't know why this Zootopia fan comic is such a meme that goes everywhere, but there's a hard-ass slap from that.
The reason the Zootopia thing is such a meme is because it's the fucking cross-section of, like, furries and, like, serious relationship problems arguing about fucking shitty restaurants.
What is the comic about?
The comic is about... I never saw Zootopia, so I don't know the names of these characters. But the fox guy who's dating the bunny girl, he starts to have a nervous breakdown because the Arby's near their house closed. And she's like, dude, Arby's isn't even that good. And then that starts the fucking fight to end all fights, probably leading to a breakup.
Are you sure that's not the meme version?
There is only the meme version.
Oh. Okay.
There is no real variant of this comic.
Oh, my God. Dude, no. Like, there's been so many parodies and edits of this that there must be...
No. The original is them fighting about Arby's.
No, that can't be right. That can, like... Like, the effort put into this art makes me think there must be a real version that is that got edited all over to the point where we can't recognize it anymore. And the only people that would know would be knowyourmeme.com, probably. Oh, my God. No way.
Oh, it's about abortion. Never mind.
Oh, jeez. Well, then, fine. Then, fine.
I thought it was about something serious like Arby's.
I'm like, no one spends that amount of time and effort on the art, like, being that solid to be fucking a joke from day one.
Well, the version I saw at first was Arby's, and it made perfect sense to me.
And the version I saw was what? I don't even remember what it was. It was, like, just whatever the meme of the day was, whatever people were arguing about at the time. No. Yeah, okay. So, whatever. There's that. There's the slap from the Zootopia fan comic. Then we've got Frieza getting
his shit slapped by Goku back in Frieza Defeated.
Yep, that's a pretty hard one.
Which is fantastic.
Because it's almost like his neck would be cracking if that were not.
But he doesn't have bones, right?
No, who knows?
I honestly have no idea what Frieza's made out of.
I don't think any of us know what his...
Seems like he's made, like, his whole body is made out of lizard tail.
I mean, if he had bones, it wouldn't make sense in the way he shrinks and grows like that all the time.
Yeah.
So I would have to assume that he's made of whatever that white shit is just like his entire consistency.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. Who knows? And then we've got the greatest slapper of all time.
Oh, I forgot! I forgot! Yeah. So many people get their shit slapped in Gundam!
There's some good slaps.
Oh, Jared gets slapped and thrown off a cliff because he's a stupid bitch with a broken leg.
Noah fucking Bright, one of the greatest slappers of all time.
And he gets his shit slapped all over
him.
He does.
He does. Big slap boys. Never forget.
There's a guilty pleasure of mine is the how can she slap.
How can she slap we've seen is a really rough one. How can she slap? Yeah. I remember that.
So, like, that's a darkly humorous thing, and it depends what part of you finds that funny. But for me, it's like the escalation of, I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, shit, the world's coming at me.
Yep. There's that. And... It's a really bad one. And then followed by that is a really sick moment from Kamen Rider.
Where somebody gets backhanded till they disintegrate.
So there's that.
I forgot. That should have been my answer. My answer is in Yakuza 1 / Yakuza Kiwami when Kiryu just fucking full-blown rocks Herika, the 7-year-old girl, in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Because she asks him a bunch of dumb questions. Look at this shit,
Wooly. Is this a bad one?
Yeah. She's asking him some stupid bullshit.
Nobody cares about Iwan.
She's crying about being an adult.
$10 million yen and why you've...
Just bam!
It's almost like a push.
And there's a bunch of people around, and they don't say nothing. And she apologizes, and he says nothing.
Wow. All I know is I've seen...
People use that image from Kiwami back when the Yakuza games weren't certain to get localized, and they just slapped Sega's face onto Kiryu and just said, like, this is what happens when you ask for Yakuza.
Well, I just remember seeing that clip where it was like, Kiryu never killed nobody. And it's just him grabbing some random waiter and just he's getting shot up by another waiter and then just tosses him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize.
So Kiryu technically didn't kill that guy.
The other waiter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So.
Well, it's because
it's Walker Texas Ranger logic.
It's thematically inconsistent because Kiryu's one of those Japanese heroes that will beat the villain, the horribly murderous villain that killed everyone,
mm-hmm.
and then be like, now you've learned your lesson.
Yes, yeah.
And it's like, you're on a tall building. You could just throw him off in like a second.
No,
it'd be super easy.
No.
But no, I'm a good hero, so I won't kill him. But that moment, which is in the first game, everybody forgets about. That guy gets iced, and Kiryu thinks nothing of it. He never even mentions a single word.
He specifically moves him into the bullets.
Yeah.
But again,
if Kiryu did nothing, that person would have lived.
Yep. So, but no, if you don't pull the trigger, then you're still the hero, right? Doesn't matter. I didn't help you up, but I didn't push you down either.
Okay, Liam Neeson. All right. That fucking ending to Batman Begins is so stupid. I'm not saving you. That means it's not murder. It's like you're literally looking him on a train. He's going to die. You're not helping it. Like,
yeah, but that's...
You're an asshole, Batman.
Yeah, but, I mean, we can go back to Batman just holding a gun and just running through a warehouse shooting people. So
yeah, original Batman.
Oh, God. Other Batman.
New Batman.
Would take your pick of gun Batman. Bat gun, just fucking wasting people.
Ha, I blew you up. The ultimate is the car hitting, the wheel of the car hitting the guy in the back of the truck and just like vaporizing his head in fucking Batman v Superman.
Or in the Arkham fucking game where your tumbler has a taser field on it. So the people that go flying for yards are fine.
Yeah, because they were horribly tased. Electrocuted as they got hit by a tank going 90 miles an hour.
Jesus. All right.
Fucking Batman.
That seems Christmas.
All right.
I think we've defeated Christmas this year.
Again. We haven't defeated Christmas until we come back and we all have all of our pieces.
I suppose. But, yeah, on that note, so, the 25th and the 1st being the next two Monday/podcast days.
We'll be podcast-less.
So we will catch you guys in 2018.
Get excited for the biggest news to ever happen to games to drop in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, like, yeah, but like, fuck you, game news, for doing that during the holidays.
Microsoft pulls out of the console market
when people are off, like, you know? But either way, Christmas has been slain.
Mm-hmm.
And we can now...
So you're slaying Christmas by like dodging all of its attacks by fucking off to New Zealand.
Yes, 100% by getting in a plane and just flying the fuck out of town.
You can't hit me from the other side of the planet.
And then, well, with more, it's the craziest, longest combo trip ever, because it's over to Toronto to visit the fam of the girlfriend's family, and then it's from there over to New Zealand, and then it's from the Southern Island bottom to the top of the North Island, and then it's straight from there to Magfest, and then it's from Magfest back.
So
home.
What you're saying is that it's Magfest, nuts. The biggest party ever, you're gonna walk in and go, I'm gonna die on step one.
Yeah.
That's good. That's strong.
But hopefully, I might even have a Kiwi accent when I do it.
Oh, fuck off. Just have a shitty fake Kiwi accent.
Someone offered to teach me a haka, so that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to learning a haka from the Maori people.
What about some jackass that I'll just teach you?
I mean, I really hope it's not some random jackass that just makes me do some bullshit.
You're a tourist. You'll fall for anything.
Because that sucks. But
I want to. Yeah, that's me. That's what I'm doing.
All right. I'm probably going to do streams over the holidays on any day that I'm not doing much. With Wooly gone and a bunch of videos pre-recorded, Matt and I are obviously going to record some stuff to fill out the schedule. But there's going to be a lot of time off. So on days in which I'm totally bored, I'll throw up on Twitter a stream.
Cool.
Be like, hey.
We got a Christmas fisticuffs coming.
Yes, we do.
And
I don't know what about it is Christmas themed at all, but sure, whatever you say.
It's a thing.
You and Matt were adamant that this be the Christmas video. Like, I don't get it.
And then we got a special month coming in January.
Yep.
Well, sort of. But yeah.
Yeah. Monster Hunter.
Oh boy.
That beta's coming back.
It is. I'm going to miss it.
That's fine. It's the exact same beta.
You know, I don't want to say this.
Oh, fuck.
I don't want to say this.
Oh, shit.
I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yeah.
I've been like,
It has elements of things that you like.
It's been on the brain, and the desire to kind of like see what would happen if I did this and tried that is there. And
well, it's like there's a lot there to fuck with. And there's a leak monster list that it's very much like all other Capcom leaks. You see the list and you're like, that's reasonable. And then the next the next preview event, like in France, it's like, oh, well, there's three monsters off the leak list. And they're weird picks, too. They're picks you wouldn't expect. So that monster list is pretty legit. It's 32 large monsters with more coming later.
So, I mean... It's weird, but like I don't even care.
You will.
Because it's like right now the monsters and the way you dodge them and they are
subverted by your moveset.
That right now, exactly. Right now I'm just like, yeah, they're monsters, they come charging at me and then you roll. Whatever. Yeah. Right now I'm what my brain is doing is going amped elemental overcharge discharge.
So that's the beginning. And
like locking it into the shield, spin, switch to axe,
back. Control mastery increases. You'll notice that the chasm is your control mastery is first, but then it's opponent mastery. It's Rathalos shook his tail this way for 5 frames. That means move this
right,
way.
Right. Yeah, well, I was asking you about it. It's like, does, like, you don't get life bars, but, like, if you see limping, you know you're getting close.
That capture will work.
And if you see, like, sleep, then you know that it's, like, really tired. Does the sleep heal it?
It heals its stamina.
Okay. Not its life, okay.
But stamina is also important because tired monsters are easy to beat on. And it's like, we were talking about this, right, a few days ago. It's like, me and him were talking about on the podcast of like, oh, man, can you even beat Diablos in the time limit? And then, like, solo players are coming out. It's like, I beat Diablos. I beat
Here's
Wrath,
my video of, nine, put, of 19 minutes of me
I beat all three of them.
Yeah.
It's like,
although,
fuck.
I'm happy to see that the person doing that is considered, like, the video, because that is the, it's not like, oh yeah, anyone can do that. Like, that is a special thing that people are going, that guy's fucking
well
nuts.
There's also the thing is, like, coordinated teams of four will find the sleeping monster and all four of them will do like the zero element discharge simultaneously on the face and just insta pop the things.
And I'm assuming that there's more than enough perfect play like videos out there because it's a PvE game, so.
Oh, you can find all sorts of goofy shit.
Yeah.
You can find a video for fucking For You of people like using barrels and certain sleep weapons to perma sleep lock certain bosses.
Exactly. No, I like, again, anytime it's like a PvE thing and there's multiplayer involved, like I'm just waiting for videos of seeing the like E get erased from existence in seconds. So, yeah, let's see that. I guess we can do the Zyodon round now.
All right. Everybody who does want to hear Persona 5 or Persona 4 spoilers, get the fuck out of here.
Later. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. You filthy animal.
It's a Home Alone thing?
That's a Home Alone thing.
Yeah.
All right. P5 spoiler time.
All right. Get out.
Are you out?
Good.
Are you gone?
Good.
All right.
All right. Ask your questions.
Number one, favorite dungeon music.
Size.
Rivers in the Desert.
Is that a dungeon track?
I'm gonna fucking...
That's great. Don't worry. You have multiple weeks of not being at this laptop to fix this laptop.
Okay. Anyway, Rivers in the Desert because.
But is that a dungeon track? Does that play during a dungeon?
No, it plays when you're fighting. Yeah, the boss.
Are they not mentioning like the background track of dungeon exploring?
Because
if it's background track of dungeon exploring, it's a fucking Life Will Change vocal version in Size Dungeon.
Yeah.
If it's
if we're not allowed, that's the reconnection.
That's hilarious.
If we're not allowed to use the boss music, I was just thinking of the whole thing.
If
we're limited to running around in the dungeon, then yes, it has to be vocal version of Life Will Change.
Yeah,
There's no question.
if it is all, it's probably Rivers.
Because I just like even though I remember being more hyped and catch and finding it more catchy at the time, the song that always comes back in my brain is Rivers in the Desert.
So I wasn't crazy about Rivers in the Desert at first,
but then it doesn't go away.
But then it's got such a good strong hook.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
The other thing that stays in my brain as far as the dungeon goes is the theme of running around on Shido's boat.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Right? Especially with his like stupid political bullshit in the background next to the speakers. Society must find a way to unite and it's all dramatic and really, really building up. Like that whole like presidential theme that plays while you're running around the boat is
fantastic.
So there's that. Favorite dungeon design and theme.
It's Madarame's. Madarame's is like it's okay for me. It's either Madarame's or the street or the sky above Shibuya as the final dungeon. I'm a sucker for the taking it out to the real world.
I'm gonna have to say fuck. Let me just make sure. Yeah, I want to make sure I'm not fucking this up. I'm going to have to say probably the casino.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say the casino. The casino was...
Casino's solid.
Like, it was too fucking good. And getting back to it, especially after that, you know...
The in-meteor res
of the buildup of the beginning felt incredible. Because that full circle feeling, but you're not even remotely close to full circle. But you're like, it feels like it.
Yeah.
And then it's immediately followed by... The biggest what the fuck in the entire game is super strong. So I'm going to say that. Everyone has a waifu, but which girl made you hesitate and or was your runner-up?
Hesitate? Oh.
Who is your obvious waifu pick, but who is your second?
Well, Becky was starter waifu. And then she got old. Futaba becomes for real waifu. Mm-hmm. But the actual like possible runner up would have been the doc.
The doc. Thank you. Yes. Absolutely.
And I think that's almost the case for almost everyone who didn't actually pick the doc.
Takemi was 100% second place on that.
She was supposed to be like way darker and meaner in the original, but eh.
Yeah. Futaba's a good pick, too, though.
Yeah.
Futaba's a really good pick. Favorite MC? Minato, you, or Akira?
I'm going to give it a toss-up between the Femsi and Akira.
Interesting.
Amina or whatever.
Why Femsi specifically?
She is did you ever play as her?
No.
She is very different. She is a lot more proactive and like a normal human person than Minato is.
Oh yeah. How do they handle the beach scene with Stupid Face?
Don't know, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
But like the main thing in the early game is like Junpei is like Junpei's like issues with you of like, oh, why is he the leader? Turn into how come a girl's our leader? And she, like, fucking, like, throws down with him and calls him a bitch and all sorts of stupid shit, and it's great.
Okay. I think I've already answered this.
But she has better taste in men than Minato has in girls.
Well, I had better choices, too.
Yeah.
I feel like I've already answered this, but for me, it's 100% Minato, Arisato, because of this.
Yeah.
And for
he's doing a Jesus.
The hands on the fucking door, man. Nothing beats that to me.
I like Akira more than you.
Yeah.
Yu's fantastic, and I really like him. But I prefer Akira's dirtbag, criminal scumbag, actual horrible person dialogue more than Yu's weirdo dialogue.
But also Akira has, like, before you take control of him, like, a display for being the fact that he's a good person.
Yes.
And you don't really get that.
Yeah, Yu is more of a blank slate.
So that's what that's why Yu become is third place to me, because there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. But, like, the beginning of P5 establishes Akira as, like, a good fucking dude.
Yeah.
And the end of P3 establishes Minato as a good fucking dude.
Right.
The best fucking dude.
Yeah.
And P4, I can't really think of any moment that, you know, goes hard for, yeah, like, setting up this character.
Well,
to
he's
do
a blank
thing
or slate.
Outside of what you make him do. Exactly. Yeah. So that's where I go on that. Favorite P5 S-Link power-up. Shut up their S-Links.
There's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the biggest, the most hype I got was definitely the recuperation, the swapping you get from Hifumi Togo. So the moment you
that
fucking,
changes the game.
The moment you do the shogi link, and then it's like you can now swap team members out. That is a complete situation changer.
There, I can't pick a winner, right? But there are some obvious like top tiers. Hifumi is probably the best one because she gives you more gameplay options when you're fighting.
Yeah.
On the social link side, it's Chihaya with the fortune teller, where she lets you power up an S-Link if they're not available.
Yeah.
Which is really, 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 really strong. Becky's fucking go out at night after in the dungeon.
It's really good too.
Top tier.
Yeah.
And the docs, the SP recovery accessories are astonishingly good. They're so strong. They carry you through the whole mid game.
I think the fact that like those, but a lot of those power ups are for giving you more S-Link time.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels really good. I like that. But the team swap in battle is the most drastic gameplay change.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm going to give it to
a lot of the other S-Links focus on, like, do you hate this mechanic? This character will make this mechanic easier. Like No Good Tora helps you succeed all the time.
What's the worst P5 S-Link?
Fucking Oya's, without a doubt. She decreases the rate at which the caught percentage goes up in a dungeon.
Yeah.
Something that you will never happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
It is completely abjectly useless.
It's pretty much pointless. And the story with her was all right. I liked hanging out at the bar with adults. But I'm trying to think if there's anyone like plot-wise that I cared about like less. I mean, I maybe fucking Get Smoked Video Game Kid.
Yeah, but he's got that Get Smoked
But he's
hat.
Got that hat, though. Yeah.
And his, I forgot about this, but somebody mentioned that his jacket says "Kill Noobs."
Also, like, as much as I like the guy, I really didn't care about Ryuji's convoluted track problems. You know,
there's a moment near the end of the game that doesn't make any sense if you haven't done his S-Link at all.
Okay,
like where he runs.
Yeah,
on
and you're like, why is he running like a big pro? Where did that come from? Similarly, Anne's modeling bullshit was just like, eh. But she gets a really good like
there is
moment
a
out of
really
it.
Really clear thing that gets lost in translation on Anne's thing. Like there's a really obvious hafu versus full Japanese thing going on there,
right?
That we just don't care about,
and she's
at all,
and she's half, not half, but she's effortlessly destroying. You know, like full Japanese models.
Because the rival model is so classically Japanese.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that, like, and like you're supposed to be like, oh no, poor Hafu. And we're like, what? That's not weird to us, Japan.
Okay, best boy throughout the series. Akihiko.
That's so broad.
Akihiko.
Ganji. That's... And I'll give number two to Akihiko.
Damn. And that and like Akihiko edges that out because he punches. but
Kanji chairs.
I know.
I know. But I also like it's a but it's a fucking oh my god, it's a
oh yeah, look at that. We picked our mains in the fighting game. Like,
it's a triple threat because he punches, he's dressed like sharp, and when he's not, he's got a fucking cape and bear scars. And he's voiced by my dude. So
I'll say that the male cast in P5 I felt was pretty weak compared to the female cast. Like in the other games, it felt a little more even. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think Yusuke is that good.
Yeah, no. Yusuke and Ryuji have no fucking chance up against Kenji and
it's
Akihiko.
It's not fair.
I think
Makoto and Haru and Futaba do a lot better against the other characters in the older games. Mm. But like I don't think the guys aren't that great.
Although Light Yagami comes pretty close. You know. I like spinning, and he's got the fucking all out attack screen.
Yeah, Akechi's pretty good.
Akechi's pretty fucking good, Akechi's though.
Pretty good.
He's way up there. Who's your waifu persona? So not an actual human being.
For waifu reasons or for persona reasons?
I don't know. I guess just take your pick. Yeah, he says mine's Linan Seed.
Linan Shida.
Linan Shida.
It's Irish, so yeah, that's why it's pronounced
weird
like that.
Excuse me, I'm gonna say it awfully. The fucking bike.
Mara.
Yeah.
What is that? Joan?
Joan? Jean?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Battle motorcycle.
The motorcycle. The fucking motorcycle, bruh. That's, yeah. You can't go wrong with that or Succubus. Succubus is pretty good.
She's okay. Angel's pretty cool too.
Hellrider.
Wait, no, is Hellbiker is
Hellbiker.
Not in the game.
Hellbiker.
But Hellrider, I think, is.
There's some good ones. Whatever. It's like the waifu thing again.
Yeah.
Favorite romantic pick. I'm Makoto. I like Makoto the most. Yeah. Oh. I guess like they're asking for all three. I mean, we've covered it, but
we've covered it.
Yeah, been there and done that on that. So.
It go. Fucking Mitsuru, Risei, Futaba.
It go.
Do you see the pattern?
Yeah. Yuko, Chie, Makoto.
Do you see the pattern?
There you go.
That's really telling. I never put both of those together at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's the Zeodine round. I don't know how you fucking say that, but there you go.
We did it. Zionga, shut up, fucking shell Persatron.
Oh, I guess I'll throw it on there and say like. Well, no, I guess we did address the whole villains versus villains thing.
We sure did. We talked about it for like 40 minutes.
At length. Yeah, that's true. So that's fine. All right. Defeated. Thank you.
Now go beat up Kamiya in the video game. He looks just like Kamiya. It's so weird. They have the same glasses.
I mean, if he was underneath that leather suit with the British glove, he has these crazy muscle stretching things
on.
You
know he does.
I told you 10,000 times!
I'm gonna put glasses on every character! You can't stop me!
Stop it!
Have a happy holidays, everybody.
Later.